Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1150. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. What is up, good sir?
They pulled me away from my busy ass schedule because it's WrestleMania season, so I canceled my yoga class to spend time with my good friend Kevin talking about fake wrestling on real TV. Did I do that right?
Yeah, and they are making a lot of money fake wrestling on TV. Still some big money numbers that they're getting paid to pretty much all organizations that are on TV.
Oh, I mean,
you might want to grumble about one or the other if you feel like it, but
Pat
they're still
McAfee,
getting paid.
hey, Pat McAfee said we're losers online because we worry about the wrong things. So, and boy, that was a talking point that I just rolled my eyes at because I'm kind of like, who cares? You know the thing about WrestleMania buildup, and I always laugh about it. I remember, not you so much, but Jeremy definitely got a chuckle when I went to WrestleMania in San Jose because that buildup was like substandard. And he's like, "Why are you wasting all your money to go there? The show gonna suck." And end up being like one of the best WrestleManias of all time because buildup is great to get you excited about spending money for WrestleMania, but once you're there, it's about the matches.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. That's something he forgot about. I feel like it's a basic tenet of Stunt Grant at this point. Definitely in the archives there. I don't know how many times we're like, man, this build sucked. And then we're like, oh, we're eating crow. This is like a great pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it's just like at some point we should have learned better, but Jeremy did not learn better at any
Yeah,
point.
I mean, in ideal world, you want to have a great build up, a great match, and an ending that makes you feel satisfied or emotionally invested. But if you're gonna get two of the three, I always focus on the match, like the match and the ending. And usually, we get two of the three, and like we either get build up, building match, building ending, or match and ending. Like the last time we got all three, I want to say was when Cody beat Roman.
Oh, yeah.
Because the buildup was amazing, the match was great, and people were satisfied. It's funny, the year before, the buildup was fine, the match was great, and the ending. If you weren't a fan of Roman Reigns, people was pissed off at that ending.
Yeah. I was still and will maintain my I did not agree with that decision, but I, you know, it's all so easy, like you said, to say
Yeah.
that the following year everything paid off, so you can't, you know, like in hindsight, it's like, do I really have a whole lot to complain about? No, not really.
Yeah, I think people felt a certain way at the time. I was kind of like, I really didn't mind Roman Reigns losing because I was kind of like Cody Rhodes really got shoehorned into that feud because he
Oh,
came, beat
yeah.
Seth Rollins three times, got hurt, was out 8 months, won the Royal Rumble, and then all of a sudden it's like he, you know, all of a sudden it's about him.
He's
I'm
just
like,
back in there.
yeah, and I'm like, that storyline really had nothing to do with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes just happened to be there. But by the time a year later came, it felt more organic. And of course, The Rock probably did some of the best work of his life. So definitely added to it for better or worse. And that has been a talking point about, you know, the main thing I've heard about WrestleMania, like the negatives have been the costs and the celebrities. The celebrity thing is just hilarious to me because I'm like, since WrestleMania 1, celebrities been part of WrestleMania. So kind of like,
Yeah, some seem a little more, you know,
hand-fisted
like
than
they,
others.
yes, yeah, 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 yeah. That's a good way to put it. Like there, because there's like at least four celebrities, and I'm like, they've been actively involved in build up at this point, because Jelly Roll's definitely been around, and who? Oh, well, I Show Speed's kind of been in and out, so you could
Yeah.
tell that something was coming for him. And I'm trying to look at the other.
Are we really counting Pat McAfee as a celebrity? Because it's kind of like, I know he's famous, but he's been a WWE employee for a while, and he started in NXT, so it's kind of like, I mean, and it's like, that's the main
Yeah,
one people
it is.
complain about. I'm like, Does he? I mean, he's famous, but like, does he really count? That's like counting Logan Paul as a celebrity at this point. Like, I mean, he's famous, but he a wrestler.
Oh yeah, the moment that Paul Heyman talked him into being a full-time wrestler, he stopped being an attraction.
Yeah, and it's just wow. It's like you see Logan Paul, and he's one. And it's a funny thing you bring up Osho Speed before he start bringing on a card. If you are in a WWE bubble, you have no idea how insane the fact that not only is this man involved in wrestling and it's going to be WrestleMania, he is a fan of kayfabe and is following it. It's like, do people not realize he's one of the most popular people on the planet?
I just was almost beside myself, and he's like, when the first Danhausen segment happened, he's like, oh no, I have 189 million followers, and it's just like, that's like half of the United States, like, you
Yes.
know, just as rough math.
Yeah,
It's just
like.
like that is wild. Like, I know that it's not all American, I'm
Oh,
sure.
yeah, but he's one
That's
of few
wild.
people. He is one of few people that can literally say he can go to the majority places on planet Earth and somebody has heard of him. Like, he went a whole tour of like different African countries and everybody knew who he was. Like everybody, he's going to he can go to South America, same thing. He could go to Asia, same thing. You know how I know? I have seen it. And the wild thing about it is, if he was about 3 inches taller, he'd be in the NFL.
That leap, because, and I don't mind talking about this again, that leap over LA Knight was amazing, because LA Knight did not really duck down at all, and Osho Speed got over him, and I'm like, oh my Lord, dude.
Yeah, like they had the celebrity, they had the celebrity flag game. They're like, oh, well, he had to try hard to keep up with Devontae Smith. And I'm like, that's Devontae Smith. That's a pro. The last time the guy that won the last receiver to win the Heisman in college, like a Pro Bowl level wide receiver. How many people even if somebody's playing half speed as an NFL athlete, you could like, yeah, he could probably, hold his own. For like 5 seconds, and I embarrass himself, and it's like, yeah, I've seen
Oh,
this. Yeah, I've seen this
yeah,
man do like a. It's people
it's
kind of
one of
brush it
those.
off like it's not like a big dumb. Like, yeah, that man got like a 42, 43 inch vertical. That's not normal. That's not
No.
like I have seen the stuff he's done. It's kind of like, oh, he's fine, but I'm like, no, he is an extremely athletic person that just happens to do streaming.
Yeah, because, oh, and that was, I saw him in that flag football game, and yeah, like, he was not embarrassing himself. There are not a lot of people that they're going to be able to pull that off.
Oh, Saquon Barkley's moving at half speed. I'm like, that's Saquon Barkley. Like, we're not talking about the dude that's playing at Division III. We're talking about Saquon Barkley. If you could go out there and like look, if people are asking, could he really play ball? And it doesn't sound like a stupid question. That's all you need to know about his athleticism. Like, so you take some of that level of athleticism. He has an awesome personality, and then he's on there. Walking around, like he had his stream and LA Knight broke in and beat him up. He shows up again with a cast on, talking about Danhausen still curse me. I'm trying to get rid of this. Like, he is not just showing up. He's actively like getting involved in this. They're showing, clips of him like, I don't want to be in this match. So, go ahead, they're gonna train him up. And it's wild where when you get celebrities that's really into it, they seem to really be into it. Like Jelly Roll lost a whole bunch of weight to kind of like get in the ring. It's like, no, I want to lose because it's not fair for me to like win my first match. I'm not a professional. How many times you hear that from like a celebrity?
Yeah, I mean, it's a wild motivation to have. It's like professional wrestling made me get in shape. But hey, you know, good for him.
It's like they not only want to get involved, they care enough to do it and respect the business. Like, this is not too far, separated from like Bad Bunny going through tables and having death matches because he really wanted to do it. And I'm like, you don't have to do this, right?
Yeah, San Benito did not need to do that at all, but he's just like, no, this is gonna be fun to get put through a table.
And now he's saying he missed. He want to come back. Like, keep in mind, this is like last time I saw him, he was on the halftime show at the Super Bowl, and he's like, I want to have a hardcore match, another one. So yeah, this is WrestleMania season. I'm kind of like, if you have celebrities that's like actively involved and care, it works. Like Sami Zayn's second best WrestleMania match was with Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, yes. Hands
So
down.
yeah, and
One of
it's
the
kind
most
of,
memorable matches.
yes, that had no business being as memorable as was, and like that was an awesome ass match. It's like, cause Johnny Knoxville cared. Well, you have people that's like showing up, and they don't really have too many people anymore that's kind of like showing up for a check. Travis Scott notwithstanding, and I think that's what left a nasty taste in people's mouths. It's kind of like what happened with that. And it's funny when you compare that, and then like little baby is like this, like, I don't know why you comparing me to me. Like, I've been watching this for decades. Like, I earned this spot. I'm not Travis Scott, so don't slander me like that. And I'm like, he performed well. He didn't take any away from that. He added the Trip Williams thing. And it's like, I get the sentiment why people kind of saw that. It was like, oh, this rapper sucks, so every rapper sucks. And it's like, no, we don't do that. Like, judge the character, judge the
Well,
person
yeah.
based on what they're doing, not based on what everybody else might have did back in the day.
That one's a little more shoehorny to me than some of the other ones, but it's still not overly so. I could just see him being the musical act for Trick and it being
Yeah.
sweet,
That's
but whatever. If he wants to be involved, a little bit involved, and yeah, he keeps on showing up, so I do think maybe after getting over the shock, I think he got into character better. I feel like the second week that him and Trick
yeah.
were together.
I mean, it takes practice to kind of do this. And it's like, I think a lot of times we kind of brush it off when the people do it very organically, and we realize how weird professional wrestling is as a form of entertainment, because it's kind of like, it's athletic ballet, the best way to describe it. Like, it's scripted, but it's the actions are still real. You don't get to say cut and do over when it's live. Like, you have to know your lines, perform your lines, perform everything that's going on, and not mess up, and try to like not only perform to entertain people watching on TV, but entertain the people that's like watching from front row all the way to, the cheap seats. And that takes a level of talent and skill where it's kind of like, I'm not surprised that people who are good at the acting part of wrestling become good actors, because it's kind of like, it takes a level of acting skill to be a good wrestler anyway. So the skills translate for the most part.
Still half surprised that Roman Reigns is still with us. Half surprised.
And I start seeing him in enough stuff, just kind of like, yeah, enjoy the tribal chief while you can, because he will not be here. He's here for a good time, not for a long time.
I definitely think after Street Fighter comes out here, we might see a change in interest in
Oh,
that department.
yeah, if that movie becomes successful, and it's a good chance based on the tone they're doing that it may be moderately successful, and that becomes a franchise. Yeah, Cody and yeah, Roman, yeah. Enjoy watching while you can. It's a lot of people that age range that's kind of talking like, my contract's up. I might be, unlacing my boots, so to speak.
Or do the John Cena thing that he did for a handful of years afterwards there, just pop in for a match or two every now and again when the schedule allows and
Okay.
go from there.
So, speaking of that, WrestleMania card night one, and also night one and night two, the first hour will be on ESPN 2 on night one and ESPN night two, I think they said.
That is correct, sir.
Which is wild to think about the days when you used to spend $50 and $60 to buy WrestleMania. And now, that's a good thing. Like, you want to watch the rest of WrestleMania? Drop $30 and get our app.
That's Yeah, I've got to admit, since I already had it, I just went ahead and bit the bullet and upgraded when that whole situation happened. And hey, I've gotten to watch a lot of hockey this year since the Penguins are actually decent again. So
Oh, yeah, speaking of,
I have taken advantage of that price tag, I will say this season.
Well, I switched over from DirecTV to Spectrum right around the time that this happened, so ESPN Plus or Unlimited, whatever it's called, is actually free for me.
Ah,
So
very nice.
I was very happy because I saw those complaints. Like, imagine you had ESPN Plus, you was already spending that based on your Disney Hulu package, and somebody telling you, oh, well, actually, that's not enough. You got to get the ESPN Plus Plus. And drop $30 when you used to like spending $11 for Peacock. Yeah, I don't blame people feeling a certain way. Like, yeah, that's ridiculous. So, and also, I normally would say good luck with the Penguins, but considering the team they're playing in the first round, I will refrain from that. So we'll just say let the best PA team win, and we'll just leave it at that.
Battle of Pennsylvania in the first round. I will admit that I am a little bit bummed that the Columbus Blue Jackets stumbled on the end of the season there, because there was a solid chance that instead of the Battle of Pennsylvania, it'd be Ohio versus Pennsylvania.
Well,
And I would have gone to another playoff game with my boys Sid and Gino.
hey,
So
well, there you go.
that was the downside for me on that one.
Well, considering the Flyers were about, they said 15 points out, like in late January, the fact that they made it to the playoffs was like a, they basically said, oh, well, if they play like one of the best teams in hockey, they might sneak in. And they had the second best record in hockey since January. Like post-Olympics, they were like the second best team in the league. And that's how they snuck in the playoffs. Because I was watching, and then I saw the record. I was like, eh, another rebuild. I'll see them next year. And then, lo and behold, I'm watching them clinch. And I'm like, how about that? So anyway, night one starts off. Logan Paul, Austin Theory, and IShow Speed versus the Usos and LA Knight. And talk about a storyline that basically had to be made due to pivots from injuries.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you could see how this would have played out very differently had it not been for a multitude of injuries surrounding all of these gentlemen.
Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, and this is kind of like, I think Bron Breakker came back in time, but he didn't really have any. He might, if he pops up, I wouldn't be surprised to interfere in a match. I just feel bad for Bronson Reed because it's kind of like he has had the worst luck when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, he really did not seem like an injury liability in NXT when he was down there for like 3 or 4 years. And then all of a sudden he breaks his leg, jumping onto a table. And was that the War Games match, if I'm not
Yes.
mistaken?
Yes, it
And
was.
then, yeah, like he comes back, and I on a seemingly innocent pin breakup, what was it, tearing a pec?
Or a pec or a tricep or something. That's
There's,
kind of like,
yeah, one of those ones that's a nasty muscle injury that takes a while to come back from, one way or the other. So yeah, like oof, yeah, he has not had good luck on the main roster here.
and then it's kind of like basically we put the Usos together because we don't really know what to do with them as singles wrestlers. I mean, it's a weird thing because it's like I would just say the noise around, like comparing how people look at Jey Uso and how people look at LA Knight is just hilarious to me because LA Knight is beloved both online and on the internet. I mean, like in real life and the internet. And I remember a time when it was like people on the internet kind of looked at like LA Knight as kind of like, oh, he's just a attitude era gimmick and that shit's not gonna last long. And it's like, yeah, it's been 3 years.
Yeah, it's guys, it's lasted now. Like we've got to drop this part of the argument.
It's like he gets commercials, he get pushed, like his main issue is he's not big enough to get the title only because of people who happen to have the titles. It really is not necessarily his fault, but people take it like, oh, you're Bear. I'm like, we need to do this whole your Barry and anything like that. Because, like, if he pushed everybody, I always call Cesaro's, you know, when Cesaro was in WWE, Cesaro Syndrome. If you push everybody that everybody wants to push, then no one gets over. You can't put, you know, everybody can't be at the top.
Yeah, and there's always going to be, I've talked about it a lot over the last couple of years, especially when since Triple H has been at the helm. He doesn't like short title reigns. So it just limits the number of people that can be, you know, the main champion, whether it's male or female, honestly. Like, he is, I feel like the females have maybe had slightly shorter reigns. In general, though, they've still had pretty solid reigns.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, it's, I think people, like, we used to have long title reigns, and then once you got to the Attitude Era, like, that kind of went out the window for a while, which it was, and then it's kind of like, that's why CM Punk's, that's why when people, like, had long reign, like, when CM Punk had his, Dean had his, it's kind of, like, stood out, because you weren't used to that, and then I think people kind of, for, like, you know, Roman Reigns had about, what, 3 years, 4 years? Felt like
Yeah.
9 years, because this COVID time is just a weird time. But
Yeah,
it's like between him and Gunter, it was kind of like, and when the Usos had the tag belts, like, someone got the belt, they got the belt. And now it's kind of like, unless something happens where it's an injury or it's like a change of storyline, for the most part, with the major titles, they get the title, they're going to have the title. So it's kind of like,
yeah.
it's only so many people that can like fight for the title.
Yeah, so I mean, people like Jey Uso and LA Knight are just, they're gonna need to sit out sometimes. And I mean, come on, I mean, even CM Punk really has not been in the title picture a lot of his time back in the WWE here. You know, I mean,
Because of
he's had,
injuries.
well, injuries and just the personal feud with Seth Rollins and a couple other side quest kind of situations that took his eye off the ball from time to time. So I mean, yeah, injury did not help, but you know, yeah, he's had a few other distractions
Yeah.
along the way too.
But it's just wild when you see how a couple years ago, everybody was assuming that Jey Uso would be the one to kind of dethrone Roman Reigns. It's like everybody liked Jey Uso until the fans liked Jey Uso too much. And then also, like, you know, he got three moves and a yeet. How he beat Gunther. And it's kind of like people pointed out, if you go to shows, the Jey Uso experience is a lot different than if you online with a keyboard. And it's kind of like, as
Hey.
Nick Khan said, it's like, yeah, we know about what they say on Twitter, but that's a loud ass minority. It's like, we don't do that based on what they say, nor should they, because it's for what?
Yeah, it's that's one where I'm like, just think with your eyes, people. You know, like, 'cause I still see some of that sentiment, and it's just like, I saw their entrance this week. People were pumped to be in that concession area at that time.
Yeah,
You know, like it's been that way for what, like 2+ years at this point now?
yeah.
Because I mean, that's another one where it's been around for a while at
Yeah.
this juncture.
I have a feeling a lot of these fans would have been given the side eye to Steve Austin and Roddy Piper. Like this whole, because it's, I get the work rate thing, but it's like, what does that even mean? Like, all work rate to me at this point is kind of like, do your matches entertain me? If the answer is yes, you got good work rate. I don't really care how you do it. Everybody can't be Dean Malenko. Everybody shouldn't be Dean Malenko. It's like, let the ring technicians be the ring technicians. Let the punch and kickers be the punch and kickers. And like, if you get over, you get over. If the fans care, that's all that matters. Getting caught up in like the technical aspect, and that's all it is like, whatever. Like, well, I mean,
Yeah,
like, I don't need
you're.
Jey Uso to do five different type of suplexes. Like, for
Yeah,
what?
that's a that's a missing the forest for the tree kind of situation there. It's just like, yeah, you're kind of missing the point here, guys.
Yeah, so you have them and LA Knight basically kind of like the, and it's funny where their whole thing is like they were antagonistic, like LA Knight and Jey Uso seem to be antagonistic, and Jimmy Uso was kind of like the peacemaker. And then somehow they just got on the same page because they're like, you know, you got beef with the Vision. I got beef with the Vision. I don't know how I feel about your cousin, but we can work it out later. but let's work this out now. And meanwhile, the Vision just been like going through it because it's like they've been dropping like bodies, and it's like now you got
Now
like.
you got Austin Theory really getting a push for the first time in quite some time.
With a crappy hair, with a school shooter haircut, and
Oh,
Logan Paul, like all of a sudden people like now it's funny how people talk about Logan. Oh, I don't really like him. We're like he was always an asshole. It's like now you just realize that. Like what you use Google and Google Logan Paul in Japan, and all of a sudden you found out stuff that people knew a long time ago. Like the discourse around Logan Paul is hilarious, where it's like now it's kind of like, oh, you know, he just does high spots. He ain't really that good. I'm like, nothing about Logan Paul has changed. His presentation hasn't changed. His match skills hasn't changed. For whatever reason, people just decided to feel a certain way about Logan Paul all of a sudden, to feel, I guess, because they feel guilty that they enjoyed watching him before.
which is weird. Because I still like I think he'd be more of attraction if he weren't on TV as much as he is, but he still plays a good role. Like they've had to adjust what his role is because he's been on TV as much as he has been. It's still not really a bad thing. It's just a different thing though
He's
for
doing
how
a lot.
they've been presented it.
He's doing a lot of heavy lifting that he probably wasn't supposed to carry, because it's kind of like he's basically doing Bron Breakker's job right now. But Bron Breakker got injured, and then you can't lean on Bronson Reed because Bronson Reed got injured. So it's kind of like you and like. Basically, the whole thing starts like, oh, I show speed got roped into it by accident, and now it's like, you know, you in the gang now, you in WrestleMania, and he like, I didn't sign up for this. I'm just a, and
Yeah, I still like how he's a reluctant participant in this whole thing.
yeah, like people
It's been a
forget
funny side story.
I remember him, you know. Barking at Randy Orton and catching the RKO, and then catching the spear, and damn near dying from Bron Breakker. And it's like I would be feeling skeptical too every time I got in a ring. Bad things happen to me.
Yeah, he has no reason to feel positive about in-ring experiences up to this point in his life.
So I will say, you know, the Usos are professionals when it comes to wrestling. LA Knight can hold his own. The athleticism of of all three on the Vision, because like Austin Theory is a sneakily very good athlete, and the weird thing about
Yeah.
him is kind of like people thought he was going to be a breakout baby face, and instead they didn't want him to be one, so now he's kind of like the brooding heel, which doesn't work. But he's an athlete. You've seen what Logan Paul can do. I'm just imagining what high, what you know, what spots they're gonna have Osho Speed do. So this, especially when it's kind of like. We want to have casual fans, you know, get excited about wrestling. That's a great first match to have on night one, you know.
Yeah, they're really gonna try to get some people to buy in with this match. So I guess to wrap this up, not that I'm gonna remember, do you have a prediction for a winner before we move on to the next
Yes,
match?
I think the babyface team wins. I think Osho Speed catches a 1D from the Usos. You get to see, you know, you like to start the show on a good note. Like the Vision doesn't really need to win this. Like it's a celebrity match anyway, and it's kind of like people want to see the Usos do their thing. They want to cheer LA Knight. That's a great way to start. So start that way.
Fair. Second matchup on free TV, one that was a little bit surprising that this one was going to be on free TV. Unsanctioned match between Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre.
This has had, yeah. One, you know, the best, you know, the thing I noticed about the matches that had people most excited about, the matches basically had the build up is I don't like you, you don't like me, let's fight. You don't have to get more complicated than that, because it's a few matches on this card where the build ups basically be I'm gonna beat the hell out you when I see you because I don't like you. And this is one of them, and they have made this like very personal. Where, like Drew McIntyre, this is basically insulted by the idea of like Jacob Fatu having an existence in WWE, because he's basically pointing out like you treat me like a criminal. He did time. He did real time. It's like, why y'all looking at me like? And it's funny how Drew McIntyre's old gimmick is, I'm the heel that tells the truth.
Yeah, he is a fitting courier for the first time that this is being done.
Yeah. Yes, he's basically taking the mantle from Kevin Owens, and it's always good to have one person like that. And the feud's basically be like, two people who feel like they got screwed out the main event thing, because it's like, if I'm Drew McIntyre, I'm feeling a certain way where it's kind of like I got the belt snatched from me because y'all wanted Cody Rhodes to have it back.
Yeah, he has got to be, as you said, feeling a certain way. Of all the people on both nights of the card, like he probably has the most complaining to do, should he want to.
Yeah, because he got kind of screwed based on like storyline thing, because it's basically, well, we got tired of Cody Rhodes, so we want to change it up, but people still miss Cody Rhodes, so we want to change it back. And it's like, I get it, but Drew was fine as champion. Like, I did not have a problem with Drew McIntyre's world champion. And you could have had a match. Like, I get the whole the before Pat McAfee got involved, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton storyline made sense, so I got that. Drew and Cody Rhodes would have worked, so if they wanted to go that route. But then again, it's kind of like you got Cody Rhodes, you're not going to not have Cody Rhodes in the main event, which created just like Rhea Ripley, Cody Rhodes' popularity kind of created problems. But it's like one of those problems you just got to deal with when it's like a main event thing. So and like Jacob Fatu was getting pushed, and then he had injuries kind of, sidetrack him. So basically had to get a week off.
That was wild. Like when that came out, because I really don't remember the full extent, but yeah, basically a new mouth. That is wild. And honestly, like the fact that he came back in under 6 months is kind of
Because the whole
interesting.
thing was weird, because they was like, oh, what you mean a dental surgery? Like, it's just gonna wisdom tooth? It's like, you got more than one, the way they talked about it. Like, it was very extensive. So, and because there was a time when people was thinking Jacob Fatu was gonna be like the throne, like was gonna be world champion relatively soon, and he feel like he had to start over from scratch just from being out that long. And the fact that he's having a high profile match, and they've just been beating each other up whenever SmackDown comes on, like.
It's been a Looney Tunes fight, essentially. What they've been participating in, especially after falling off the scaffolding and still being around the next week to talk about
Look, if Big Show, when he was a giant, can have, survive a monster truck crash, and if Triple H can survive damn near dying when Stone Cold drops him with a forklift. So yeah,
it.
I it's wrestling. I just treat it
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
I use Looney Tunes logic when it comes to pro wrestling, where it's kind of like, hey, it's like that sometimes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, like you said, there is not, it's kind of interesting. There's not a lot to talk about in the build up to this one. Like it's been super basic, but really good the whole time. Like you said, they're just like, I hate you. I hate you. Okay. things are settled.
So I have no idea who wins this. I probably would lean toward Drew, just because like I feel like Drew will win. Like, this whole I just happen to fall on you when we're both hurt and I just happen to get the pin. Because it's like either one of them can win, and but I don't really have a strong prediction or feeling like which way they want to go. Because it's kind of like this depends on, are they ready to have Jacob Fatu be the future and make the future now? Or do they want to kind of like throw a bone to Drew for being a good soldier getting screwed? Because Drew had to juggle all this while also filming Highlander.
Yeah, 'cause I feel like I'm leaning to the latter in my prediction here that they're gonna throw Drew McIntyre the bone in this situation. Jacob, as you kind of noted, he I know that he's not young, but he's still young relative to most of the main eventers. So the man's got some more time to spend there. So I feel like Drew's taking the win on this one.
Yeah. So speaking of a few, if two people don't like each other, boy, Stephanie Von Erich and Liv Morgan. Jesus.
That this one has turned weirdly personal. I still don't know if I completely understand what went wrong to create this situation.
Oh, I know what happened. Liv Morgan basically called Stephanie Von Erich. Oh, you grew up in the favelas in a mud hut, wrestling with roaches. Well, I was the chosen one. Basically called her a broke ass bum, and Stephanie Von Erich felt a certain way. So it's been hand. It was already hands on sight when Liv picked. When Liv picked who's she gonna fight, and. When Liv cut that goofy ass racist ass promo, it just went from, you know what? Enough talking. I'm seeing you is it, and it's like when I say hands on sight, it's don't be in the vicinity because you might get hurt. Kathy Kelly took a stray. Roxanne Perez, I'm glad she didn't get a concussion because I heard that bump when they bump heads, and it was like, yeah, that shit sounded loud.
I mean, Liv Morgan has shown off her injuries. I've got to imagine that Roxanne has a similar egg on her head
Oh, yeah.
because of that. 'Cause yeah, like that was a thud that unfortunately from cracking my own head open a couple of times. It sounds vaguely
Yeah. And
familiar.
then just in case, I'm gonna throw you into a TV just to make my point. Like it's been hands on sight. The whole Dominic thing went out the window a long time ago. Like, dude, like we fighting. I don't like you, you don't like me. And they made it very personal. And every time they see each other, it's like they are fighting. That's all the buildup you need. You don't need to get more complicated than that because they didn't have a natural storyline. They just made it. They just made one, and it worked because it's like they have been beating the crap out of each other every time they've seen them. And it's wild where Stephanie Von Erich is the baby face that's acting real heelish. But it's working because people like her. Liv is a heel trying to get a little bit of babyface sympathy, but it's like people gonna like Liv Morgan regardless because people like Liv Morgan. But Liv Morgan has not been acting like she's still been Liv Morgan. And you can drop a music video, you can drop a music video, shake your ass all you want, but it's kind of like you fighting somebody that's just as beautiful as you, so you can't do the whole I look better than you thing and try to use that as an advantage.
Oh man. Another like you said, kind of basic build up to this one. This really has been we hate each other through and through since the choice was made. And yeah, it didn't really feel like there was much of I don't know if Liv would have had a storyline either way, you know what I mean? From like if she would have chosen who the heck's over on
Jay
SmackDown?
Cargill,
Jade.
yeah. The
That
problem,
wouldn't have been unnatural, kind of unnatural build too.
See, okay, I'm glad you brought that up. We could take a detour. The whole issue with this, I'm glad they at least made it personal, is kind of like they kind of shoehorned themselves when Liv Morgan won the Royal Rumble because they basically so Liv had to have a title match. And what that ended up doing was cascading because it was kind of like, then Rhea Ripley had to win the Elimination Chamber. So you,
Yeah,
so
you needed
somebody, so,
someone with size to go against Jade Cargill, like you.
but yeah, but the problem is you did have somebody with size that would have made a lot more. Like, I don't want to get to that story, but that Jade Cargill Rhea Ripley thing is basically like we have to have Rhea Ripley do something important, so everybody's gonna get screwed for that. I'll talk about it more when we get to that match because we had talked about it in the past, but it's kind of like both women title matches basically became, well, Liv Morgan too popular for her not to fight for a title, and Jay, and Rhea Ripley the same thing, so we're gonna make it work. And at least with Stephanie and Rhea, it's basically been like we don't like each other and we just keep beating each other up. I assume that they're gonna put the belt on Liv Morgan because it's Liv Morgan. I'd rather Stephanie win, but I get the logic behind Liv getting it. But it's kind of like,
Yeah, that's where my prediction is leaning to. I feel I'd prefer Stephanie end up winning. But Liv Morgan winning
Yeah.
seems the more likely
It's
choice.
something, but it's something that kind of rubs me the wrong way with both of those, like with that match, because it's kind of like this whole, well, Liv Morgan don't deserve nothing. Like if they put the, like she's, Liv Morgan is a superstar, but it's kind of like this whole, well, she's famous, so she needs to get the belt. I'm like, no, she don't. Like they would be fine. Like WWE, especially the women's division, would be fine. Liv Morgan does not need to have the title for her to be popular, and I know that because the all you gotta do is look at that tag match, look at all the women that's in that tag match, and it's kind of like, or the match after this one we're about to talk about, it's plenty of popular women who are not fighting for the world title, and they seem to be doing just fine. So the idea that Liv Morgan has to have one because she got injured, and we want to basically a mea culpa, like thank you for being a good soldier thing at the expense of Stephanie Vicaris. Like, I guess, but it's like,
Yeah, I do not I do not love it for a very many number of similar reasons there.
yeah.
Like it doesn't feel right. It feels like Stephanie could use like that one real landmark win that she hasn't really had since she's won the title.
Yeah, like the her problem was her popularity made like people say, oh, she got pushed. She got pushed fast because she came and everybody loved her. And Naomi being out, like also Naomi being out kind of messed, like Naomi and Bianca being out kind of messed up a whole lot of things. Like Naomi on Raw and Bianca on SmackDown, where it's kind of like you basically made feuds that weren't organically there because the people you could have been feuding with weren't there for various reasons. So it's kind of like, don't be, why Stephanie got pushed for a reason, because Stephanie was over and everybody like Stephanie Vicaris. So since she got pushed, but it's then it's kind of like she was basically fighting Mexicans for the most part. Like
She
you were
kind
fighting
of got put
Roxanne.
in a weird spot because for whatever reason, and this is also on the card because I did not realize night one how many women were on the card until we were doing this review.
Yeah, you
But
have.
the women's tag division became super important for whatever reason.
You had
And a lot of
yeah.
names, you could pull so many names from that tag match to be either in a championship match or, another women's grudge
Yeah,
match if you want to.
it became popular because they realized they had too many women, so they had to do something with them. And it's funny because the most popular team was the one they broke up. Like Rhea and Io Sky was like the most popular team there, but you break that up because you want Rhea to have a title match. Now Io has nothing to do, which is, I get why, but that's batshit insane. Like the fact that you had the like one of the most old, like your best wrestlers not don't have a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, someone that Michael Cole has spent an entire year telling us that she is the best women's wrestler in the women's division. Somehow she does not end up with a
Yeah.
match at WrestleMania is just wild.
Because,
Absolutely
yeah.
wild.
And why? Because they were kind of like, well, we might have the Kabuki Warriors win a tag match, but then we're not sure if Nikki gonna be cleared. We're building up this Asuka and Io feud with Kairi there, but we're gonna save it for Backlash because we already got four matches. And it became a thing where they had a whole storyline. But then it's kind of like we don't want to pull the trigger because we want to save it, or we might want to change stuff on the fly. And it just kind of like, so the fact that you're like, everybody can't have a WrestleMania match as you've seen, but it's like the fact that you had a storyline built toward a WrestleMania match and you're not going to have the match is, and it's like Io Sky and Asuka, and it's like,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's some big name not getting WrestleMania matches.
Yeah,
Both
but
of those ladies. That's
I mean,
pretty interesting.
it happens, but it's kind of like I'm not this whole like somebody need to be fired thing, but that is an egregious thing that's kind of like it's very noticeable, especially considering like Io Sky was, that triple threat match was one of the best women matches they ever had. And that was probably the best or second best match of Mania last year. And the fact that Bianca Belair is still out and Io Sky is not on the show is just kind of like, who would have guessed that?
That is pretty wild. The women's match that we have alluded to, that we have not previewed at all, here, AJ Lee defending the Women's Intercontinental Championship against Becky Lynch. I mean, you could really boil this one down to I hate you, you hate me, also, honestly.
Yes, and also basically a fight over legacy, where AJ Lee's doing this whole "you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me," and the fact that you talk about all this stuff that you did, but you did it because of me, and I'm still here, and people still talking about me. So what that say about you? And Becky is like, "You old news. I'm putting you out the pasture," even though they're almost around the same age.
Just because it's very linkable at the current moment,
It would be hilarious if AJ Lee was younger. So AJ Lee is
say
39
same age.
and
They
Becky
are
Lynch
the
is
same age.
39. And it's like, yes, AJ Lee was very young when she left. Back when you were at, like, when you hit your late 20s, that was your expiration date as a woman. Because that has come
Yeah,
up
you've
now.
talked about that the last couple of shows you've been on.
We did a whole show talking about that. About how that used to be a thing and now it's no longer a thing. So the fact that they both talk about legacy and they're the same age is hilarious, because it's kind of like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is wild. I had not really thought about that aspect of things. And yeah, that's an interesting one that they're the same age, but
Because
wow,
it's like,
Lynch's road to the WWE was much much different than AJ Lee's.
they both had wild roles, and it's just a funny, different type of roles, because it's kind of like they're the same age, but they almost feel like they're from two separate eras from wrestling. Because it's kind of
Oh,
like
yeah.
because AJ was basically out the door by the time Becky was like coming to the main roster, and
Yeah, it was before the Divas Revolution happened. So yeah, it definitely felt like a different era of women's wrestling when AJ Lee was around.
it's just funny seeing like AJ Lee had this awesome career, but you could imagine what type of career she would have had she started like 4 years later.
Oh.
Like, it's a whole generation of women that they got to feel a certain way, kind of like, "I left right before they started treating us seriously." Like, AJ was kind of like, right,
Yeah.
they just started to treat them seriously right before she left. So she's already this legend, but it kind of feels like, I didn't get to reach my full potential. The fact that AJ Lee came back and looks the way she looks, like she has not aged. And it's like the idea that we're getting AJ Lee and Becky Lynch fighting for the IC title is just insane. Because it's like Becky Lynch at this point has nothing to prove. And she basically said, when my new contract up, I'm done. I've done everything I need to do. Hollywood has been calling me. I'm a mom. I'm about to be four. It's kind of like I've
Yeah.
done it. Like, what else can she do?
Nothing.
I have been the
Literally
most.
nothing.
I was a woman that main evented at WrestleMania, and I was the most popular wrestler in WWE. Like, put that
Full
on a
stop.
tombstone. Full stop. Like, I literally became the like I literally became the most important person in WWE, and I was a woman. And I am the reason now that you see women being in matches, and it's not considered a big deal. Like, she can say that with her full throat, and nobody can tell her she's wrong. So, I mean, at this point, it's like, yeah, I'm. What else I got to do? Literally, like,
Yeah, make a lot of money in Hollywood. That's
yeah.
that's what she's got left to do.
So this build-up's been weird because you rarely see rematches at WrestleMania. Like, normally, this seemed like a
Oh,
match would be at Backlash.
it's been kind of interesting because in a lot of ways, I'm not thinking of it is they hate each other, even though I kind of introed it that way, just because this has been an ongoing feud since Survivor Series.
Even it felt like it was before that.
I
I don't
can't
even know. It's
remember when that tag match with Seth and Becky against CM Punk and AJ was, but I mean, this has been, just a long, drawn out feud that has, really gone on. And even by the time they got to this part, it's a logical conclusion to have this match. But you didn't really need to sell it that much. Like, it's just
yeah,
like
like,
it's a great matchup that I am very excited to
and to be
watch.
fair, like, Becky's been doing most of it. AJ basically been like, you trying to be like all that stuff you did, and you only did it because of me, and yet they asked me to come back. So what that, what you gonna do about it? And I already beat you once. So how'd that make you feel? I was on the shelf for a decade. I came back and beat you, champ. So do something. And Becky been losing her mind because it's like AJ, right? Like Becky's awesome because she has all those accolades, but she has the self-confidence to look like a complete coward and look ridiculous when she needs to be. And that says like you have to be very confident in your skills to do that, because it's kind of like, like The Rock had that. Most top people don't have it, because like, you're gonna have me look stupid. You're gonna embarrass me like that because I gotta stay strong. And it's like, Becky, don't care. Like, when you've been at the top of the mountain, you got nothing to prove. You already know what you can do.
Becky acts like it, in the most positive kind of way.
I feel like Becky wins because it's like, I know AJ's, I'll come back full time. She hasn't really been full time. She's come back when she felt like, and it's like the IC title has actually been a workhorse title since they introduced it. And it's like, Becky, one thing about Becky is she gonna show up. Like AJ be like, I show up when I show up. And it's like, I don't like I like AJ Lee being back, but it's kind of like, what does AJ Lee, she don't got nothing to prove either.
Oh no, it's kind of funny. Whoever ends up with this championship, they have nothing to prove, and really the only thing the best thing that they're going to do is put over whoever the next champion is.
Yeah, or it's like, unless you want to have a whole bunch of dream matches with AJ Lee that you didn't have before, you want to do that. And if she willing to actually like do that, then you could do that. Cause I would say if you're gonna go that route, AJ Lee retains. Cause I'm like, if Becky win, who's she fighting?
I guess I'll go AJ Lee for my prediction,
Yeah.
because what the hell, because like you said, like it does feel like they have more fresh matches. Becky Lynch can and has been fighting a bunch of personal feuds, because like you said, like she's still, even though she's not the biggest name in the WWE anymore, she's still one of their top people.
Yeah.
And she can get eyeballs whether she has a championship or not. Like it is so unnecessary for her to have a championship and to get a segment.
She's at the point that she don't need a belt. But she
Nope.
can, but if she has a belt, she can elevate the belt and use the belt to elevate people. So,
Yep.
and speaking
Yeah.
of, and so they got
Yeah,
three
they're
women's matches.
listing them all three women's matches in a row. Like a little bit surprised
I have a
that
feeling
this would be the
that,
layout.
cause I'm like, but actually, if you look at it, it's kind of like if they're gonna have the Jacob Fatu Drew McIntyre match be on free, unless you move Seth Rollins and Gunther in the middle, I don't see how you change this format, cause it's like.
Because it's a men's tag team match too. Like they're not putting one of the women's matches on ESPN, at least on night one.
Yeah.
I guess there are no women appearing on ESPN, actually.
Yes, we still, I guess,
Interesting.
yeah,
Interesting.
so yeah.
But anywho, you're right. Like Seth Rollins and Gunther is the only real floating match that you have to break up all of these women's matches.
So
And we have made some side references. The Irresistible Forces are the women's tag team champions currently. That is Nia Jax and Lash Legend. taking on frenemies, now besties, Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Bayley and Lyra Valkyria, I guess, have made up and are friends and actually a tag team again. And at least for the time being, and I believe Michael Cole told us on Monday here that Nikki Bella is still rehabbing from her ankle injury, hoping to still be ready here. I don't feel like I've seen news one way or the other, honestly, about whether that's going to happen or not. But three team match, four team match.
Well, I got the feeling if Nikki doesn't get cleared, then Asuka and Kairi slide in that spot. Which is maybe why they don't want to. This is one of the reasons why they talked about they weren't sure if they're going to have Io Sky wrestle Asuka, because they might have to have the Kabuki Warriors in there. And this is probably the match that probably has had the most build up as far as night one, because this shit has been going on for months.
Yeah,
And it's.
they took a little bit of a break when they were trying to decide who was going to take on Jade Cargill, but other than that, this has been ongoing at least since the Rumble.
Because one, Nia Jax and Lashley just becoming a tag team out the blue, which is out of nowhere. It's like, okay, they two big bullies and they divas, put them together and they have chemistry together, which I wouldn't have guessed that. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss is just an amazing story, because Charlotte went from this time last year basically being hated for no damn reason, because and all that stuff she dealt with Tiffany Stratton, to being beloved, and all because I get to be myself because Alexa Bliss forced me to be a human being, and it just gradually worked to the fact where it's like, yeah, Charlotte basically say, this is the first time I felt like seen and appreciated, and the fans treat Charlotte Flair like she's an OG now and like love her. And it's like, we have been doing the show long enough to say how odd that sounds, like that Charlotte Flair is like a beloved baby face.
It is wild. She is getting to that. I feel like we've only referred to men in this status. The likes of Randy Orton, where it's just like, oh, I don't think you're getting booed ever again. And yeah, this change of heart with Alexa Bliss is, because even when those two did break off during the Elimination Chamber time period there, people were still behind Charlotte Flair. That popularity did not go away.
And then they
So,
got back together, and it's wild where it didn't happen overnight. Like, Charlotte's still Charlotte. Charlotte's just nicer. When it comes to Alexa Bliss, and it's funny where Alexa Bliss probably one of the most underrated women in like modern WWE history, because it's kind of like she's like the fifth horseman, and she's been as popular as those five, and people forget that till she shows up when she's been gone. It's like, oh yeah, every time Alexa Bliss comes, the crowd treats her like a big deal. They've always treated her like a big deal. She's always like done something like to seem important. And it's kind of like she was out, had a baby, came back, and hadn't lost a step. And it's just like she's the person that like unlocked this, Charlotte Flair being likable. And I love how you said best friend, because it's WWE when it's like, friends. Y'all can tell me that nonsense all y'all want about, oh, that's just her buddy. I'm like, yes, just caressing each other hair and just looking each other eyes. I baked you a cake. I baked you cupcakes. Go ahead and do my celebration. I'm dancing like you. And it's like, between it wouldn't, you know what? The only reason they kind of get off the hook is because y'all like Io Sky and Rhea Ripley are way worse. And y'all try, oh, that's her best friend. I'm like, yeah. Like,
Yeah, I do not get into my yeah, they are moving a little too close to the sun with that Io and Rio stuff.
oh, look, they got each
Oh
other's
my
flag
gosh.
on their boobs. Oh, she got the tattoo. She got the tattoo on her eyes. She's her. I came to protect you. I'm hugging you. That's my buddy.
Rhea's got her hair clip, the EO hair clip in at all times now, and makes sure it's facing the camera at all times.
I know you could do it, but I couldn't let them do it without, I couldn't let my friend get beat up. Yeah, ask Kathy Kelly, they just friends. I see that. I saw that stank ass look Kathy Kelly came when Io showed up. I know what an unrequited crush looks like, but I know it's WWE. So it's certain, like, you know, if we're more, the fan base is more progressive, but it's still pro wrestling. But and if the wild thing is, if this was ECW, well, this would have a lot different energy. But anyway, so you have them, and then you have Lara and Bayley, and it's like, I don't know what was going on. Like, Bayley was doing the whole multiple personality thing, and like, you don't know if she's a face or heel. And then Lyra's trying to figure out what Bayley mindset is. Like, are we? And then Lyra's like, you know what? I'm gonna get you to WrestleMania because you deserve a Mania match because you got screwed last year. And then Bayley's like, we're gonna do it together. And it's like, then they just decided, like, all right, we're just gonna be friends. We're annoying friends that somehow just worked it out. And it's like, it worked. It just was a very convoluted way to get there.
Yeah, it was wild how we've gotten here. They didn't really seem to have a resolution in mind for the whole schizophrenic Bailey situation. So it's just fine that it's just like, hey, we're just two really good wrestlers who decided to team because we don't have anything better to do. Which, hey, again, since the women's division has not been around that long. Something they do in the men's division all the time. So,
Yeah.
you know, common practice, two women don't have single stuff to do, put them together,
Yeah, and
have them
basically kind of
figure it out.
like, and basically like a mea culpa from them getting screwed from WrestleMania last year,
Oh,
as they have pointed out. And also, and the basically the Bellas is kind of like, we never got a chance to have a WrestleMania tag match. So, because it's kind of like Nikki came back and everybody's like, where Bree? And they don't want me back, and they don't really want me back. I don't know. I got my stuff ready, and then she just showed up, and it's like, oh, the Bella Twins are back, and it's just wild. Where it's like, the Bella Twins are back in 2026, and it's just considered normal, and it's like, that's not how I normally work with women in WWE. Like this whole, I'm in the Hall of Fame. I hadn't wrestled in like a decade, and I'm back. And I can hang, and it's kind of like, yeah, Nikki showed that she can still hang, and Brie is like, the fact that I was home being a mom, and now I'm
She did not look out of place. Like, I mean, I know
no.
that she's only wrestled like one or two matches, but I mean, I can't point out anything wrong that she's done in her two matches back, you know? Like, I'm sure that Mr. Danielson got her good and ready so that she did not look like a fool in
Yeah,
a wrestling
exactly. Stay ready so you don't have to
ring.
stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So and how they've been building up is like all of these teams have been feuding with each other. Meanwhile, if it's Raw SmackDowns, like they'll have single matches and then Lash and Nia to show up and jump somebody. Cause the funny thing is, there's these two big monsters, like they're bigger than like it's rare that you have a match
Everyone.
that it's rare that you have a match where Charlotte's not the biggest person in the match. And it's like, no, Charlotte ain't bullying neither one of them. Like you already know about Charlotte and Nia's reputation, where it's like, yeah, you gonna work this style one way or another. Like Nia's gonna make you work strong style if she feel like it, and you just gonna have to take it. Cause there's very few people that's gonna like not take Nia Jax's offense. And it's wild because, you know, like we know the history between Nia Jax and Charlotte, but then you see Charlotte and Lash Legend, and it's kind of like we have made jokes about Charlotte Flair.
Quite a few.
It's a reason why Charlotte has that reputation about who she likes, because like I saw her birthday party, and I saw who was there, and I saw who wasn't there. And it's kind of like it's a reason when Charlotte wrestles certain people, she tends to sell more and make sure they look good. It's like, how many times that have to keep happening before we realize, oh, that's not happenstance, not accident. It's like, and I brought up with Charlotte Flair because in a perfect world, she will be wrestling Jade Cargill for the title right now.
Oh yeah, she definitely was a viable option.
It would have made the most sense.
Yep.
Like they have been teasing that since the moment Triple H showed off Jade Cargill to Charlotte. Like, hey Charlotte, look who I got. I got my brand new girlfriend. I got the updated version of you. She's an athlete. She's gorgeous. She's glamorous. And every few months they just give each other like these stink faces, like you know. Like, I'm gonna take your spot. Charlotte, like, ain't nobody. Charlotte whole thing is, just because I hit 40, ain't nobody pushing me out. Like, I ain't pushing, like, I'm over the hill. Like, I basically hit my prime. You ain't replacing me. And they've been building that up. They have a genuine friendship. They obviously got the chemistry. Like, that would have been a great match we would have saw. But since, we got to have Rhea Ripley in the main event, we kept Charlotte Flair in a tag match. So we'll save that for like next year if we have that. And they better hurry up because Jade Cargill was like, look, I'm doing this as a favor for y'all. I don't want y'all to think I actually need pro wrestling. I'm just doing it because I'm good at it. And it's kind of like,
Yeah, she's a celebrity that's she's almost like a Logan Paul at this point, like she's a celebrity that's decided to be a full-time
she
wrestler.
had a level of fame before she joined AEW. AEW elevated her fame, but then she went to W. Like, how come she go NXT? Because she didn't need to. Look. I'll say all I gotta say about Jade Cargill before we talk about that match. Like, you can't be a hypocrite. Like, we are inducting Sid Vicious in the Hall of Fame this weekend. You can't be no fan of Sid Vicious and be talking about, oh, Jade Cargill. Like, I don't know why they push her. I'm like, what you mean you don't know why she when you push her? Look at her. Just look at her and have her seen a match for 2 minutes, and that's why they're pushing her. Like, it ain't rocket science sometimes. It's like she looks like an X-Man.
Very similar but different reasons that Jey Uso like just use your eyeballs
It's like
in a different way.
I grew up watching. Like, the funniest thing is, for the longest time, people used to tell me that Lex Luger and Sid Vicious were not good wrestlers. And I'm glad we grew past that point and we got a certain age. We're like, oh, actually, they were good wrestlers. They just didn't look like Bobby Eaton. It's like, Jade Cargill is where she is because where she is. That's why. You ever see a woman that looked like that got a six and like she can wrestle good enough? That's all she needs to do. But I'll save that for later. I would have loved to see her wrestle Charlotte. Maybe they'll do that in future. As far as who wins this match, I have no clue. I doubt the Bella's gonna win, but beyond that, I have no clue who wins.
This is one where it is pretty wide open here. Bailey and Lyra could get the win so that Bailey, ends up really getting a crowning moment at WrestleMania. But it's weird to say that. What is it? Only 2 years removed from her winning the championship from
From
Io
yes.
at WrestleMania. Like but there has been kind of a weird thing. Like that title run was not good. And Bailey has kind of had some setbacks in the meantime that has definitely been loud on TV, so it does
Yeah.
feel that way. Like even though that did happen
Yeah.
relatively recently.
Belly is in this weird spot where it's like she feels like she's not good enough, and everybody else is treating her like she is underrated and like a legend. Cause it's like she's out here. Oh, I'm having seminars. I'm paying for most of the expenses, like to have the next generation of women wrestlers. And it's like everything you hear about Bayley is like she's the man. Like she's just this awesome person behind the scenes, and she deserves a lot more. And Bayley's like, I don't know. They don't treat me like the other horsemen. And I'm like, and it's wild. And it's like, does she not know? And I get why she may feel that way based on how they book her, but I was like, does she not know how everybody else look at her?
Yeah, don't worry about management in this case. Miss Martinez, is that the real last name?
Yes,
Yeah,
Pamela
okay.
Martinez.
Yeah,
Yeah, and it's
just
like
roll with it.
if the chance retained, then that's fine. But it's wild where. The funny thing about the tag titles were NXT fired all those people, and it's like it's funny you look at Lash Legend, and like the thing about Lash was you just assuming her and Jakar was gonna be fighting for the tag titles, and the NXT decided to fire all those women. People told me, oh, what is you gonna do? You had all these tag teams, you got rid of them. What you gonna do the tag title? They're like, oh, we're just gonna put all the other Hall of Famers and make them tag teams. So it's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, you had Shotzi and Gigi Dolin, but then it's like you got Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, and the Bella Twins. So, and you had Riho. So, yeah, I mean, sorry, you can't compete with that.
Yeah, Oh yeah. Okay. Next match up. We talked about it being the only possible match to break up all the women's matches on night one. Seth Rollins versus Gunther. One of the stranger build-ups, because of some aforementioned injuries that we've already covered, mostly to Bron Breakker. He really seemed like the natural opponent for Seth Rollins in this situation. It would almost be weird for Bron Breakker to be the one to interfere in this match. I would much more see him interfering in the Vision match than this one, honestly. Because Gunther likes to take care of his own business, unless for some reason Paul Heyman wants to start a war with Gunther, which I guess is an option if they decide to tell that story, because
Oh.
Paul Heyman and Gunther have not exactly seen eye to eye when they have met each
I
other.
love this storyline because of how random it worked. Because it's basically like they basically like sometimes you just want to have two great wrestlers to prove who's better. And Gunther's whole storyline is when I was champ, you was busy being a clown. You didn't want to smoke. And the fact that you out here talking about how good you are is insulting to me. Like, psh, how dare you? It's basically his whole thing is like, and it's funny because it fits his personality because it's like, I'm about respecting the ring. I'm about proving I'm the best. And you supposed to be the best. And you out here cracking jokes and dressing like your wife. And you didn't want a title shot when I was the man, which he was a coward. Like how you got like basically how you gonna talk about you the how you gonna talk about you the man and you never came at me when I had the belt. Like that's an affront to me.
For like a year or something like that. It's not like he had a again, something we already covered. He had that title for a long time, and Seth's
Yeah.
like, nah, I don't really need to mess with you.
I'm helping my man Cody Rhodes, the man I had three matches with. I'm out here being a hero. And it's like, and Seth's whole thing is, no, I'm approved I'm better than you. And
Oh, yeah.
it's like Seth does the goofy things well, but when Seth gets serious, that's when Seth's at his best. When it's like you kick him on the show, because like you kind of forget the fact that Seth Rollins is awesome in the ring because you just notice like all of the other stuff. And
Oh.
I think they're gonna have a hell of a match.
Yeah, Seth has definitely concentrated more on the pageantry end of things, and I feel like for whatever reason, more online than anywhere else, he's kind of taken a hit for match quality, but I don't think it's really dropped at all,
No.
honestly. So, yeah, this match has a chance to be outstanding, and it really is another one that, even though the build came out of the blue, again, like it's a very basic thing. Like you said, like Ring General thinks he's better than, I know that he calls himself the Architect and like nine other things.
Yeah.
Does
Like
he call
Seth
it
is, yeah.
because CM Punk's the best in the world? What the? I feel like there's some type of claim to
The
fame that Seth Rollins uses as
visionary, revolutionary, blah,
visionary.
blah, blah. Well,
Yeah,
it's
but I feel
like,
like there's an in-ring version of that that both of us are forgetting
I
now.
don't know, because he hasn't talked about the in-ring stuff in such a long time. So it's kind of like, it's always been said that Seth Rollins was basically kind of like, for a long time, the best in-ring worker in WWE. Like, he had that reputation.
Oh,
It was
yeah.
earned. So Gunther's probably looking at that like, I thought you was the man. You ain't show that, but like, how'd I know? Like, you show it to me lately. And Seth's whole thing is to prove that, yes, when push come to shove, I can still hang with the big dogs. Like, don't get it twisted. Cause he basically been doing like vision stuff and been like, and then he was hurt.
Yeah. Hey, well, I was gonna say, and then he was kind of selling that back injury for a couple of times, like, oh, I'm crippled, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, like you know, I had my knee injury, and then I came back and cashed in on CM Punk, and then I got hurt again, and it's like the whole thing is like the boy who cried wolf. Is he really hurt? Is it fake hurt? It's like he got hurt, and then the injury wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, so he came back. When he came back, and then he got hurt again, and people was thinking it was fake, and then it was like, actually this is real. So you gotta drop the title, but we don't know when he come. Like, is he gonna make it to Mania? And like, so he's here. So, I think Gunther wins because I just think Gunther wins.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like Gunther ends up winning this one. Seth Rollins doesn't need to win. I feel like they want to keep up the Legend Killer type of vibe for Gunther, at least
Yeah.
until maybe he gets the Rey Mysterio,
Oh,
which is a story for another
yeah,
day.
they better be careful about where they have that match, and because it's like, yeah, y'all, I know he was getting some threats with John Cena. It's like Rey Mysterio ain't John Cena, but people do not play about Rey Mysterio. So you better keep that in mind when you book that. Like, don't.
Yeah, do not book that for a triple A night.
Yeah, don't do that in San Diego thinking that's gonna be all cute. The ring general might get stabbed. Like, don't, yeah. Let's just say some people treat pro wrestling a lot more serious than we do. And like take that, keep that in
In
mind.
mind, everyone. Oh man, last match of night one. We have mentioned the questionable interjection of one Pat McAfee in this feud, Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton for the undisputed WWE Championship. Oh, I had no idea or forgot that Pat McAfee will leave pro wrestling if Randy Orton loses.
So you know who's winning
Yeah, I don't feel like no matter how many objections there are, if you're going to go in on this storyline, I would, you got to keep it going.
Here's the thing. It's a two-part issue with this whole build. The first part and the biggest part is TKO decide like, oh, we want to make Pat McAfee into this global superstar because he's famous on ESPN. So we want to make him to one of the faces of WWE. And it's like, nobody asked for that. Especially, like, I know Pat was a heel when he first came to WWE. And I remember that whole NXT stuff and the stuff with Adam Cole. But Pat, people like Pat McAfee more when he was a baby face. It's like, you come up, hang out with Michael Cole, have a match here and there, be the likable douchebag frat boy, basically like the good version of Logan Paul. People, Pat
Yeah.
McAfee, this whole I'm saving
Fair
the
statement.
business because you bozos ain't selling tickets and y'all don't know how wrestling work. Nobody trying to hear all that, especially from him. Like that shit just come off. I was like, what you doing?
Yeah, especially just such an attitude shift without ever explaining why the attitude shift was there. The man was yeeting at the announce desk the last time we saw him. So, how'd you go from yeeting on the desk to thinking that Jey Uso couldn't sell tickets?
Yeah, and
Um,
it's
it,
like
it, it seems weird in less than a year.
you had people that you had CM Punk having to cut promos and all this, and Cody Rhodes had it like you basically derailed storylines because people are so pissed off at like Pat McAfee basically throwing everybody under the bus, and it's like it didn't serve any positive purpose at all. It just basically showed like, oh, y'all a bunch of losers, and it's thanks to my boy Randy Orton. He a real OG. He gonna save wrestling instead from you nerds online. And the fact that people know is like, oh, if anybody gonna know about the stuff about why he's there, it's gonna be the nerds online. It's like, oh, TKO sent him out there and overrode Triple H. And it's like people already felt a certain way about that anyway. And it's like the build-up, you're thinking like who Randy Orton talking to on the phone? Is it The Rock? Is it his dad? And it's Pat McAfee?
Yeah, there are a number of people it could have been. Pat McAfee was never just even remotely in my thought process. And yeah, still did not care about his interjection into this thing because I it's so weird too because I feel like all of Randy Orton's promos have been like, hey, Cody told me to do this.
Yeah,
Like
I'm gonna get.
it seems wholly separate from what Pat McAfee is
Yeah.
saying for the last couple of weeks. He's just like, no, Cody told me that I can beat his ass and
Okay.
to tap into that. And I am. So if he has a problem with it, he only has himself to blame.
And that's the second part of that is like Randy Orton has doing everything in his power to say, like, I don't want y'all cheering for me. I didn't want to do all this. I was gonna fight Drew and be a monster, but I didn't want to do that, my friend. But Cody was like, go ahead and do that, and I forgive you. So I did that. And the problem is the fans are cheering Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah.
That's
That
the
has not
that's
changed anyone's mind.
they it's like they have been cheering him more. It's like one more time. Do it again. It's like Randy Orton is like, look, St. Louis ain't really my home, and I don't really rock with here anymore. The only thing I care about is my family. We don't care. We love you, Randy. I don't know. It's like Cody asked me to do all that, and I didn't want to do all that, and that's what he get. Did do it again. It's like that's Cody Rhodes, and they like they don't like he out here beating up Matt Cardona, breaking his arm. He's like, call him a go play with your action figures, you stooge, you online, what do you call him, an online nerd or something? And it's like,
Something in that vicinity.
and it was so hilarious. It's like he is trying to do everything he do to be the most heelish version he can be, and the crowd is like,
Still
we
eating
don't
it
care,
up.
we love you. And Cody Rhodes is not getting booed. But sometimes he is like he getting cheered like 75% of the time, but it's like people want Randy Orton to win, and it's kind of like
Yeah.
this Pat McAfee stuff aside is like, yeah.
Yeah, you had something there without Pat, which is honestly why it also feels weird. Like, it almost feels like Pat should be involved in some other feud. I don't know which one on this
He shouldn't
card.
be involved in none of it, like. Somebody had this brainstorm idea like Pat McAfee is gonna be one of the faces of WWE. I'm like, y'all are divorced from reality because nobody has asked for that. And Pat being a heel is not gonna be this whole. He gonna like, I get that he's popular, but he's not as popular as y'all as people think he is to like do this. Like y'all here, making like y'all here derailing one of your main events because you think more of him than yourself. And it's like, oh, we're gonna run Cody and Jelly Roll versus Pat and Randy at Backlash. And it's like, I'm not anti-celebrity, but it's like, you don't have to do this. You did not have
Yeah.
to do this. Like the storyline told themselves, mentor and mentee, both multi-generation wrestlers, and it's kind of like, the storyline
Yeah.
was there. And you
Yeah.
did not
Did
have to
not
add this
need
extra
any
stuff.
extra material. Needed zero extra material for this feud.
And the extra material just made it worse.
Yeah.
That's all it did. It's like,
Actively worse.
so having said that, it's like, I assume Randy Orton's gonna win. Randy Orton should win. And I'm just wondering, like, I just wonder how dastardly he's gonna be, and the crowd will be like, one more time. Do it again.
Yeah, I will be interested to see if the punt comes out and Cody Rhodes takes a vacation to film another movie here.
Yeah, reshoot for, any if she probably needs any reshoots. But yeah, that is night one. The fact that Randy
Night
Orton
one,
has lasted this
dusted.
long and became the OG of wrestling, this beloved thing, where even people forget it was not that long ago where Cody Rhodes was the most beloved babyface in WWE, and Randy Orton's getting cheered over him.
Yep.
So just be like that
Yeah.
sometimes. So night two, the match I'm looking forward to the most is starting it off, and my best build up, Obafemi and Brock Lesnar.
This one feels like sometimes I feel like there are dissenting voices in build up or how things have been treated. I do feel like this build up has not received really any criticism. I honestly don't know why you would criticize it at all.
I
This
think the
has
only
been.
criticism is people think like it's been so one-sided that people think Brock may win. And I'm like, did y'all not remember Brock Goldberg? That first them those first couple of matches where it's like, yeah, Brock Lesnar, keep in mind, he is all about business. Always has been, always will be. Whatever you want to say about his personal life, we're gonna leave that alone. When it comes to like wrestling decisions, pay me, And I don't care. I will make it look good. And he has a way, like when he like you, and he gonna do everything in his power to make you look good. And it's like he has done everything in his power to make Obafemi look good. And it's like you don't have to do that much, cause if it was any doubt about Obafemi being over, yeah, or that's just being an NXT thing, yeah, you can put that aside.
Yeah, I think we've put that to rest. Yeah, because that was another one where Michael Cole's like, this has just been ridiculous that we've gotten to this point already with Obafemi.
Yeah, like
Like, it was out
it didn't
loud
take
on
long. It didn't,
TV.
yeah, it's like, oh, so this is how Goldberg would be in 20, in the 21st century, like modern Gold. He's Goldberg that cuts better promos and has better matches because it's like they treat him like he is the baddest cooler man alive, and his fan base travels up and down the age spectrum. When the old heads like you, and the little kids like you, and the casuals like you, and the women like you. You in there. You in everybody likes they out here doing the look, doing the walk. They out here
Yeah.
chanting his name. The soon as the music come, they treating him like he is the baddest man walking. Yeah. And every time he's been in a ring with Brock Lesnar, he has punked out Brock Lesnar, or they have tried to murder each other, or like, yeah, I feel sorry for those extras. Like I ain't taking no German suplex out on the apron on the ramp.
Yeah, those extras are who should be celebrated for this build up because they have taken some horrific bumps from both gentlemen in this situation.
Hey.
Holy smokes.
Doing it for the business, and the fact that WWE kept showing it for us, show from six different angles. Let's see, you're gonna need a new hip in like 6 years. Let's get the slow-mo angle, and it's just wild. Like it's been very simple. Oba trying to
Oh.
prove he the man, Brock trying to prove he the man. They get in the ring. Oba has been embarrassing Brock, or they've been having pull-aparts, and that's it. And Paul Heyman been trying to talk his trash, like, yeah, I heard this before, Goldberg this and such that, and everybody think they're gonna beat Brock, and they haven't. And Oba like, what they got to do with me? Like they
Have
them,
you
I'm
looked at me, Paul?
yeah, like yeah, they them. I'm the Dan Rule. Like y'all, you saw what I did in NXT? Ain't shit changed. And it's wild where that like those 2 3 weeks where he was like having his little thing with Kit Wilson kind of humanize him, where it's like, so he got a sense of humor, he can talk, and that just made him like rounded out. So it's like, yeah, the only thing you worry about is kind of like you just hope they don't do this whole we can drag this out and he can to SummerSlam. It's like they know they got something with him. Just keep
No.
just, Don't like you don't Brock
Hey.
doesn't have to do nothing. Just have him steamroll Brock in like 4 minutes.
Yeah, I do not expect this to be a long match at all, and I am completely okay with that. And I'm with you. Like, even though the build has been all pretty much Obafemi's side, I just don't see a world where, like, what? It's another one where what does Brock Lesnar get out of this win? Not just
Nothing.
a absolutely nothing. What does Obafemi get out of it? Like, I mean, he's an instant star. I mean, as if he isn't an instant star already, he really cements himself as an instant star beating Brock Lesnar.
Everything you see about him screams future world champion and mainstay of the company for a decade or until he leaves. Like how they talk about Bron Breakker, and I feel bad for Bron Breakker because his only accident was he got hurt. Obafemi right, like Obafemi's right there, and it's like we see it, and we know, and everybody know. It's kind of like the whole thing is don't mess it up. And
Oh,
if
yeah.
there was any doubt about if the NIL program worked, if you didn't have anybody else before him or after him, it worked. If you get somebody where it's like, you know what, he could be the top man of our company, it worked. And everything about
Yeah.
him screams. Everything about him screams that. Like
And
everything about him screams world champion that can go on interviews, represent the company, and make me look good, printing money. Just have him win. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, and this is one where you kind of talked about the follow-up, so I'll link it into the next match here. I feel like they did a terrible job of taking advantage of Penta's initial ascent and kind of stalled him out. I hope that does not happen to Obafemi, but his seemingly corrected course with Penta.
I
He's coming
think.
into the six-pack Intercontinental Championship ladder match
Yes.
to open the closer of the night two on ESPN. Holy smokes! I mean, I'm looking forward to this one because it's just going to be a car crash match
Yes.
that.
Penta, Javon Evans, Dragon Lee, JD McDonough, Rusev, and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, like I'm not sure I've been this hyped about this kind of like. There's always someone where I'm like, why are they in this match? Rusev, even though he is probably going to be the base of the whole situation,
Yeah.
he's more nimble than, the Canes or whomever else have been
Yes.
put
You
in that position.
need one base, and he can move. And people are like, why? People ask why I'm in there, because I can beat people up. That's why I'm in there. Because I can win. He's like, I can win. I'm bigger than all of them. What y'all talking about? I like how Rusev was like, y'all looking at me like I'm the odd man. Now I was like, you see what I look like? You see what they look like? So you worry about me. You worry about the wrong people. He's right. It's easy to climb a ladder if you knock everybody out. Like, you don't have to be that fast. Just beat them up first. So, it's going to be an awesome match. That's like, imagine, I want to say 3 years ago, somebody told you this was going to be like these six names were going to be in a ladder match in WrestleMania. I think the name that would have probably been the weirdest would have been Rey Mysterio, because, like, oh, he's still wrestling.
It is still wild that with all the other people retiring here as of late that Ray's still just like, no, I feel like even though I've kind of had some problems again here, I feel like I can still go. Let's roll.
Yeah, like he
And
just.
comes back from an injury and just like, yeah, sure, I'm just gonna jump into ladder match. Why the hell not?
Yeah, like I could. I was supposed to be with Gunther, but we couldn't build it up. So I just mean this ladder match. So I'm Rey Mysterio and I fit. And I get to see one of my heir apparents that was supposed to, Dragon Lee. Y'all was supposed to replace me with. Man, Dragon Lee basically is kind of like, I'm going to carry the legacy of AJ Styles. And it's that tag team with AJ Styles did a lot for Dragon Lee, because he was floundering
Yes,
for a while. Now he is like
it did.
gold. And people's like, oh, he's awesome. Javon Evans is like, he's that young doing all that.
He's another one where even though he's not quite Obafemi level, he's another guy where they knew so quickly that they're just like, yeah, this guy's going to be on our roster and a feature player for, like you said, like 10 plus years.
He could, maybe this way, he could be there for a decade and he'll be 30.
Yes, he is going to be a young veteran, quite literally.
30. Like, that's, that whole Pete Dunne wrestling since he was 14 and all that stuff. And it's like, you hear that and then you think about it, it's like, oh yeah, like Roxanne Perez been wrestling for a while, what, 22?
I think 24, and she's been
Yeah,
wrestling since she
24.
was 16.
Yeah,
Like she's been wrestling a third of her life, literally.
so you got Javon, you got, JD McDonough. Like, say what you want about old Blockhead, but like he can go in the ring as far as skills.
Oh yeah, and they have let him ever since the whole the best. It's wild that the best thing that ever happened to him was a punctured lung.
Yes.
Because everyone's just like, oh, this guy's a tough bastard. Because, again, to go back to Michael Cole, like, if you get the Michael Cole blessing, at least 9 times out of 10, you get to take advantage of it. And McDonough has, like, I know he hasn't really won a championship, but he's gone at least gotten at least to respectable instead of being the joke of Judgment Day.
Yes, and then now he's basically a whole, guy that has, if you need a good match, you put him in there, you're gonna have a good match. So, and Penta's Penta. And the fact that, Penta was defended the title on Triple A, it was just like, yeah, I had used to wear the, quick aside, I don't know what's funnier, the fact that, you have a WWE match titles in Triple A, or that the Undertaker's treated as God.
In Mexico.
Yeah, like you, because apparently, like between him and HBK, like they had that booking thing on. Like Undertaker definitely knows how to book Triple A, and they treat like this great show been brought to you by the Dead Man, and it's like it's a running gag where it's like, thank you, Undertaker, for making our wrestling awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't completely understand it. The fact that Undertaker has made the El Grande Americanos just like nuclear heat in
Oh my
any AAA arena
God.
is just a
Man.
testament to how much they have been eating up his
Yeah. L that
storylines.
the as I call him, the real El Grande Americano, he ain't never taking that mask off. Like they got that man ki literally kissing babies. Like actually.
Kissing babies. Like, I am not joking
Yes, like multiple
here.
people handing them babies so he can kiss them and cut promos. Like he out there saving his girlfriend from a evil American pretending to be a luchador, and they treating this German that's pretend like that actually embraced doing it like he is. Maybe he's looking for the next Rey Mysterio in the wrong place. Who knew it's like a tall ass German was the next Rey Mysterio? Like they treat him like he is a damn like it, and he is just and like he embraced it 100%, and it's like it works. And no, people say why MSF? No, WrestleMania, like American crowd will not appreciate that. Leave that in Mexico
No.
where it belongs. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, stop bringing that to Raw and SmackDown and just let it be where it is because holy smokes, is it working there?
Yeah, like what's her face that just joined that left CMLL, La Catalina. They ain't waste
Oh.
time. She was there first night.
Oh yeah, I have I've got to admit, have not watched a whole lot of AAA.
Yeah, I watch highlights here and there. Like when it's like, see, it's funny like seeing her do the finger point with the Undertaker is like, so this is the south of the border version of the Triple H finger point. La Catalino and El Undertaker, as he put it on there. And it's like, I would just say, I know he's a student of the business, so I mean, it was not surprising he'd be a good booker. But the fact that he knows how to book Mexico and is just an excellent booker is like, he really loved wrestling because he could just be at home with his beautiful wife enjoying being wealthy.
Yeah. Instead, he's decided to take the. He's got that gig, and he's because is it the NFL that has the Hall of Fame guy that always comes to your
Yes.
house to announce?
He's
Like,
the Hall
and
of
that,
Fame
and
dude.
yeah, now he's the WWE version of
What's up,
that.
Steph? It's the Dead Man. Guess what? You in the Hall of Fame. Huh? It's wild how Bo Burr and AJ Styles like, what do you talk about? Like, Hall of Fame. And I don't know if they were good at, they both generally seem surprised, like, nobody told me this. Y'all trying to pull fast. So now if the Undertaker show up. You know what he there for. And
Because Stephanie, I can understand a genuine surprise. AJ Styles, they hadn't really locked it in, but I do think that that moment locked it in, that the Undertaker's like, I can just only think of like Publishers Clearing House if you saw like Ed McMahon coming to your house with a giant check. I mean, I know it's an old ass reference, but it's just one of those things. It's just like, you've won something when you see that person showing up.
what's up, AJ's the Dead Man. You know I'm here. Nah, we gonna have a rematch. I'm here to put you in the Hall of Fame. It's like AJ, like me, it's like, and it's wild where AJ Styles was there longer in WWE than TNA.
Oh yeah, that's never not going to be wild.
And AJ Styles basically was there long enough to be treated like he had the whole I'm not getting pushed right. Then I get pushed to the moon. Then I'm got forgotten about, and then I get the perfect like retirement run, and now I'm a WWE legend. It's just like he had a whole ass
Yeah.
arc after he had a whole ass career already before he even got to WWE, and it's just like that's the world we live in. So now we gotta go to this match where I have hated this build to my core.
Yeah, we this is definitely had some side references along the way here. Jade Cargill, WWE Women's Champion, defends against Rhea Ripley. I don't know how much more we can really
Okay,
add
we didn't
to
like
this one.
they. You could tell this is like nobody wants to. They just like just get the shit over with. Like both of them were kind of like whatever. Like they have no chemistry whatsoever. Rhea didn't act like she really wanted to have this match. Jade definitely didn't act like they want to have this match. And they both were like, what? Like even when they first start the, and they start that online stuff where it's like, oh, you're gonna cry, run to the Booker man, and then Rhea getting per, Rhea like hurt my feelings. Then everybody online jumping in, and then they change like, oh, you think you're the only person with muscles and blah blah blah, and I got big muscles. Like they try to figure out how to book it, and then they basically whole thing. Rhea's like, basically James like, I'm the big bad bitch, and you ain't running over me like you ran over everybody else. So what you gonna do about it? Like they basically let Jade be her best version. Like Jade is a fine baby face. Jade is an awesome heel. Cause Jade Cargill whole thing is, I'm better than all y'all. I know I'm better than all y'all. And ain't shit you could do about it. It pisses people off because people think she's not justified to have that spot. And you know who thinks she's justified to have that? Her boss. So what you gonna do?
the person that matters the most.
Yes, her boss, because like she looks, because one, as we have said, there ain't nobody pro wrestling that's ever looked like. Keep in mind, Rhea Ripley, Rhea Ripley, and there are people that are not fans of professional wrestling that are that watch her because it's like Rhea Ripley is probably 101A as far as like most popular WWE wrestler currently, as far as like popularity, and people ain't like, well, she only popular wrestler. No, she ain't just popular wrestler, like. Rhea here, oh yeah, Drake slid in my DMs tomorrow. I'm his muse. And it's like, you can see why, because you see what Rhea Ripley looks like. And Rhea Ripley's awesome. And it's like, she earned that. And there ain't nobody in wrestling that ever looked like Jade Cargill. Nobody. And I've been watching wrestling for a long time. And wrestling has had a lot of beautiful women, especially lately. There ain't nobody walking around looking like a goddamn superhero. Like she's straight from a comic book. So that.
She's big, but not overly bulky. She's got muscles on muscles. It's
Just carved
wild.
out of granite, and then she looks
It
like
is
a, and
wild.
she looks like a mod. Like she is gorgeous, carved out of granite. Like everything about her. Like you know how hard it gotta be. Where it's like when you in a ring, they go. There's a good chance that nobody will look better than you, ever. Like there might somebody that be that may look as good as you in a different way, but ain't nobody gonna outface. Ain't nobody gonna like outlooks Jade Cargill, ever. And the fact was like they just push her like this, this Aries, she the real irresistible force. And then of course, have Meat Chin and B Fab there as a sidekick. So it's like, let her have the, you know what? The fact that she had to fight, like she wouldn't have had the whole baddie thing like she had in AEW, and like, I don't know how to do that. Sean would have knew. I know who would have been able to book her. Sean would have knew the damn assignment.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like the two of them need to talk a little more often. Because I do like them as additional parts to Jade Cargill's act. Like I do think that A, they finally have settled on Jade being a heel, which should help her more as things move along here. And yeah, Meechan and B-Fab didn't really have a spot, and if they're gonna lose, they may as well lose in service to something, which
If you
is Jade
can't, if
Cargill.
you can't beat them, join them. So, and then the fact that you gotta have Yo Scott, oh, I was afraid that they was gonna jump you, so I came to protect my friend. And yeah. And Jay was like, see this shit you hit, now I gotta beat your friend's ass in front of you. How that make you feel? And Rhea out here, yeah. The last person I saw cry like that was Triple H doing that when Randy Orton RKO'd his and DDT his wife. So this whole, that's my friend. Well, yeah, whatever.
That always gets very questionable.
Oh, you was crying because they hurt your buddy. Oh, your group chat friend. I got group chat friends too. I ain't crying over none of them. They get jumped. I'm just hoping they okay. And it's like, y'all telling me that. And I love how people got mad that Jade beat Io Sky clean. I was like, she the champ.
Oh, yeah, that was one where I'm like, what did you expect?
It's the champ is
Like you
going to
said, she's the
WrestleMania.
champ. Yeah.
You want to make her look credible, beat Io Sky, because that's a big, because Io Sky's a big deal. It's like, it wasn't like it wasn't, what's making you think it's not believable? Like, Io Sky, great. You get kicked in the face by a damn Amazon. It's going to be a wrap too. Like, physics is physics is physics. So, yeah, I feel like Jade wins because, like, they want to establish Jay as a thing. And basically, this whole thing is a placeholder for Bianca and or Naomi to come back. And really Bianca, because really this whole storyline is like the money match that was all like it was always like two money matches when Jay first showed up. Jade and Charlotte for obvious reasons, and Jade and Bianca for really obvious reasons. And Bianca being
For
out,
even more obvious
yes. And like Bianca being out for so
reasons.
long, kind of let's do a damper, because like I'm glad she finally seemed like she's getting better. That and never underestimate how bad a finger injury can be, because it's like,
Obviously.
because she was like, is she pregnant? It's like, what's going
We have
on?
definitely learned that lesson over, and it's wild to say, the course of the last year.
Yes, it's like never sleep on an injury again. And we talked, and the fact that we talked about how bad
Gosh.
finger injuries can be, and he still, and it's like she finally got the surgery. It's like, I'm rehabbing this. It's gonna take some time. And it's like take off. And it's funny how everybody like this time last year, Bianca Belair was basically getting booed for like being right, because she basically said Rhea Ripley kind of whined her way into the main event, and she didn't deserve it. And they were in Europe, so you know how that went. And somehow Bianca Belair became like, oh, she just a bitch and she just jealous. I bet y'all miss her now. Y'all always calling her Bianca Hogan when she was in a, and all she did had the tag titles. And now it's
Yeah,
like, oh,
well.
we miss Bianca Belair. I'm like, I bet y'all do. It's funny how that go.
Next
So
time
yeah.
I snap into Slim Jim, I'll think of LA Knight and Bianca Belair.
Yeah, so like if Rhea wins, then it's like you got on SmackDown, and then it's like there's no, I mean, she got people to fight, but it's like it doesn't. Rhea's at this point now where she don't really need that belt because she's Rhea Ripley. She's in the main. She's in this match because she's Rhea Ripley, but she don't need the title. And Jade needs it more. And it's kind of like you want to establish Jade as like, yo, yeah. Because truth be told, they don't really have like a singles super villain heel. Like Liv was doing that till she was out, but it's been a while since they had one. It's
Yeah,
like,
and she's still like Liv still gets some cheers, so like she's at least a little bit of a mix. I feel like Jade would be their only
oh
heel.
yeah, because she has a way of ru because the one thing people don't like, and people don't like admit it, is nothing that pisses people off like a confident black woman that knows she's confident when it comes to certain wrestling fans. And she ain't gonna play this whole "I'm just happy to be here" and da, 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 da. And it's like, no,
Oh, gross. That'd
she
be
ain't
so
playing that
gross.
card, because it's like,
So gross. So unnecessary.
ain't nothing about her life screams humble. Nothing. From her fame to her husband to her and her skills, it's like, why is she gonna act like, oh, I'm just happy to be here. I didn't know if I can make it. Psst. Yeah, all right. She knew she's like she worked hard to get where she is, and she knows she's gonna like basically like I've been famous for a long time, honey. So I don't gotta prove nothing. Y'all, I gotta show up. That's all I gotta do. And the fact is like, and I'm the funniest thing is like her being this besties with CM Punk. Will never, will like, because you know how people feel about him too when it comes to certain things. It's like, it's wild. You know how I know Jay Card goes fine? I see you like her.
Uh-oh.
If Charlotte Flair say you cool, you cool. You notice the people,
Yeah.
notice like the people that's confident in skills, like Bayley ain't got a problem with her. Charlotte and Naomi and Bianca, like all the people that's confident. Don't have a problem with Jade Cargill. All the mean girls like Tiffany Stratton and all them. It's like, it's like y'all got a confidence issue. So if and she don't, so tough shit.
Oh,
And speaking of somebody else who don't got a confidence issue, Sami Zayn and Trick Williams.
Perfect. I was going to use that segue too. So Trick Williams has definitely not shown any confidence issues since being up on the main roster. He's also another guy that is quickly proving that the whoop that trick that started in NXT, not an aberration, has translated extremely well to the main roster,
you know,
to the point that we are openly talking about an official Sami Zayn turns heel during this match and Trick Williams becomes the babyface. Like, it is out there, and quite frankly, the way they booked it, it feels like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because it's the funny thing is, it has been a very slow burn for Sami Zayn becoming a heel, because I don't know when it started, but he just became this whole, I've been doing things the right way, and it ain't been working out, and I don't think that's fair, but I want to keep trying to be a hero. And then each week is kind of like changing a little bit. And then, like, Randy, how you doing? I'm a man. Voices tell me to kick some ass. I kick some ass. It ain't no debate. Figure it out. So he start getting advice from. He start getting advice from the villains. It's kind of like, well, maybe they on to something, because it's like between him and Alistair. You notice how like him and Alistair Black and people like, you know, maybe you need to change up your approach. Stop having these doubts. And Sammy's like, I don't know, but he's out here, you know, whining and having these like, I'm conflicted being a hero. Maybe I want to be a villain. And then it's like, why y'all booing me? I ain't do nothing wrong. And it's like, you kind of like been, it ain't fair. Cody Rhodes get to do this and he get chair and not do it. And y'all don't like me. Like, he kind of like, he hasn't been acting heelish, but then he was just whining about it. But then he started acting like that Carmelo Hayes stuff is like, nah, I'm going to be a heel. Like, yeah, forget all this nice guy stuff. I'm going to do the take the dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He has really gone down the heel road the last couple of weeks.
And meanwhile, Trick Williams has been out there cracking jokes and just being on his ass every week. Look at you. You just look like a musty-ass, whiny-ass dog just complaining about everything. Get your life together. And getting cheered. Like, he's been doing every heelish thing possible, and he still gets cheered.
Yeah, like, that's the only thing making this dynamic really weird, is that the Trick Williams presentation itself has been heelish, but everyone's been 100% behind it. So you're just like, well, it is what it is here, guys.
Yeah. And it's like this whole, people like, oh, they only pushing him because of his charisma. I'm like, first of all, so what? If that's the truth. Second of all, he can actually wrestle. Like, this idea, like, he's just a song is like, no, y'all just hating because he over, and this whole he need to grind out for 9 years. No, he don't. Like, he did all his grind in NXT, and truth be told, people was complaining that he should have came up like a year ago.
It's a little bit surprising that he did not follow up Carmelo as quickly. They definitely let him cook down there a little bit longer than I expected.
That TNA title run helped.
Long, but.
Yeah. And it's funny, Triple H and Sean was talking about that. He's like, you know, people always say, like, you know, some of the NXT people talking about, they feel like, you know, they should have came up sooner. And, you know, Sean was like, he was close, but I want him to cook a little bit more to, like, round out everything. And it was right. And it worked. And this whole thing, when you basically get called a combination of Booker T and The Rock, I mean, I don't know how that's a bad thing.
Do I need to say more?
Yeah, and it's like, if Obafemi wasn't around, Trick Williams would be getting talked like how Obafemi getting talked like. And the fact that you have both of them is hilarious, because you had both of them in NXT. You had those two and Javon Evans all in NXT at the same time. And now they're all in the main roster and they're all finding their own lanes. It's like, yeah, Trick is going to win this. And Sammy's going to snap.
I do think that that's the last straw in Sami Zayn really losing his marbles and really, again,
I can't believe you cheered. I can't believe you cheered him over me. Like, I don't even know what lemon pepper steppers mean.
And just be a crusty old white guy, and it will work out splendidly
Yeah.
for him in the
And
heel department.
it's wild where you still have those two. And then the funny thing about is finally the US title is like, I know everybody can't be on the same match. I feel bad for Carmelo Hayes and Ilja Dragunov.
Yes, those
Because they
two
made that title
carried
what it
that
is. And it's like,
title.
yeah, they carried that title for Sammy and Trick to get all the glory. And it's kind of like, Carmelo's trying to, be, diplomatic about it. Like, WrestleMania, I prove what I can do. And he's right because I never thought he was going to make it as a baby face. And he got over as a baby face. Like, I'm a cocky baby face that's a fighting champion. And I just got over by just having awesome matches. And Ilja speaks for itself. So,
Yep.
but everybody don't get to have WrestleMania matches, and I'm sure if they stay healthy, they will have a future WrestleMania match. But it's just you just have a lot of. It's funny you have all you just have an abundance of talent where it's just you can go different. Like we didn't talk about the fact that's like somebody's not even gonna have a WrestleMania match. Like Tama Tonga and Shinsuke Nakamura just been having like this two muff interaction, and it's like basically
Yeah.
kind of like.
And it is
Just,
seeped into other MFT storylines, this
yeah,
interaction.
and the whole thing is basically kind of like I remember when you was a chiller, and you need to get back to that. Like, what's and like you out here by yourself? I got family, and Shinsuke like, where your family at? I see you get jumped, and it's kind of like, you heard like Evil and a couple people from New Japan supposedly gonna. Sign with WWE, and it's kind of like they've been building that behind the scenes, and then you see it ahead of the scenes. It's like you can have storylines during WrestleMania that doesn't have a WrestleMania match that affects stuff for WrestleMania, and they've been juggling that because they have so many damn people, and it just works. And I think they're gonna have a good match because like Sami Zayn can have a great match in his sleep, and Trick Williams, like I laugh at this whole thing and like his ring work lacking. I'm like, no. For the level of experience he had, no, it's not. It's fine.
Yeah, he's another one where would I list him in like my top 10 best wrestlers in the WWE? No. Do I remember like any big errors in his matches in NXT when he was in the main event?
I'm like,
No, he
well,
had perfectly fine matches there.
look,
Again, like
this is all I gotta say about that. The Rock got a long way being Mr. Punch Kick Man. And because he didn't like he,
Well, yeah.
and the funny thing about him is the best version of Rock wrestles right before he left. Because he was like, what, 29, 30, and he was like having these great matches with Eddie Guerrero and Rob Van Dam and Ric Flair and Kurt Angle. Like, still my favorite triple threat match is him, Kurt Angle, and Undertaker. Like, that match is just
Oh.
damn near flawless. And it's just kind of like, it's a shame people forget about The Rock was in the best shape and had the best matches of his life right before he left. And he left, he's like 30. 30,
Yeah.
like, you didn't even reach your prime. And you just like, I'm going how you just think about if he had stayed like 3 more years, how differently, like, WWE would have looked. Like, imagine Ruthless Era, like, Ruthless Aggression Era. Rocking Brock and rocking Batista and rocking like Shelton Benjamin and all those folks, like, yeah. But I think about that all the time. I think about how many people we got in their 40s, and you think about like, Brock left in his 20s, Rock left at 30, and it was just kind of like that's just seems so like I always think about that. Like he hadn't even hit his prime and he just bounced. Like, is there a precedence in like sports? That's not injury related. Like, no, I just leave. Not, not like I leave when I hit my prime. Like, I know Robert Smith left like 29, 30. He's like, you know what? I won't leave before I get hurt. Like, Tiki Barber retired kind of early.
Oh, yeah. But
And
still,
it's.
like, if you get in like 8 years in the NFL, I'm like, nah, you've been in the game long enough to,
Like Barry Sanders is kind of
call
like
it
the only
quits.
like Barry Sanders, like it wasn't
Oh,
injury
yeah.
related like Calvin Johnson. It was like right at the peak of his thing. Is like, you know what? I don't think we ever gonna win. I'm done. And I remember how weird that was because everybody was like, damn, how bad is the Because he was just about to break, the rushing record. If he played one more year, he's like, nah, I'm done. Yeah. And then Calvin Johnson threw a decade later, like, yeah, I'm done too.
Yeah, now Detroit's respectable.
Yeah.
Next to last match here. This one, honestly, it's gotten some build up, but I feel like it's gotten a little bit of a back burner here. The Demon, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio. Nothing on the line here. Just a personal grudge match that I guess you didn't really need to do much for this. This
Yeah,
match has literally been telling itself since at a minimum last year's WrestleMania when Dominic Mysterio pinned Finn Balor for the IC title.
and Finn has been playing this whole instigator behind the scenes, like, oh, Dom can do it by himself. Dom said he went to fair and square, like, and he's been doing this whole grin on his face, like he's just been a trickster.
Yeah, he's been a shitster for quite some time in Judgment
And
Day.
the wild thing is, everybody ended up turning on him instead of everybody turning on Dominic. Because it's like, Dominic was this weird thing where he was like this great heel, and then people started cheering him after Mania. And it almost like it was ironic, but that didn't last that long. And then he just went back to being a heel again. So.
I do think it's pretty smart of the WWE to pull him off TV for like a month or two right after that to kind of cool off that reaction. And it worked like a charm, honestly, because they brought him back and he did act even more sleazy somehow than he
I
already
mean, it helps where it's like,
did.
you feud with John Cena and, Cena beats him, and then you have Liv come back, and I laugh at that evil ass look she had when she right before she low blow with John Cena. It's like she can do crazy eyes very well. Like
Oh,
one thing
yes.
about Liv is like Liv has the facial emotion down pat. But it's basically like you get to see the Demon at WrestleMania. You has and
Oh.
like and you get to see Finn Balor as a baby face, because it's like Finn Balor had this weird career where it's like he was in NXT, treated like a big deal NXT, got to the main roster, got pushed to the moon, then gets hurt when he wins the title, and he's been playing catch up ever since.
And it's wild that they mentioned relatively recently that that's been a decade. Yeah, that man has been collecting paychecks on the main roster for a long ass time.
Went back to NXT and then went back to the main roster. So it was like
Yeah.
he's had a whole ass life, and it feels like he's accomplished a lot, but was still underachieved, and it really wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Circumstance.
Again, yeah, he's another one where we talked about it kind of at the top of the show. Like, LA Knight hasn't gotten the championship run. Finn Balor's just kind of been in the same spot. Like, he's been a great performer. He's done everything that they've asked him to do. But, it just hasn't been his time to win it back. And it's just
And it's
kind
like
of
you see,
sucks. But hey, if you're collecting those paychecks, I'm sure you're not
and
arguing.
it's like people's like, how Damian Priest get it and Finn didn't. It's like it just happens, and it's kind of like that whole babyface thing started when they had the European tour, and CM Punk was like, I remember you was the man. You gotta do all this stuff. You gotta cheat. And then Finn was like, all right, I'm gonna do it fair and square. And yeah, and it's funny that feud with CM Punk, he didn't win any of those matches, but it elevated him because like I remember who I
Oh.
am. It's like I could do. I don't gotta cheat. And everybody looking at him like, you chump. And this is wild how the Judgment Day, people forget the Judgment Day was like, what was it, Edge, Finn, and was it Rhea? Or was it, I can't remember the original three. Oh, was it Day? It was Day. No, it was Damian, Rhea, and
Oh,
Edge.
yeah, an edge.
And then Finn joined, and then they turned on Edge. And then Dominic joined when he turned on his dad. And then you added, JD McDonough, then Liv was there. And then it just, Judgment Day, that's, people don't think about now. There was a good year run where that whole joke was Raw starts with somebody hitting a promo, and then you hear the Judgment Day interrupting. And they was having a match like they was the most important thing on Raw for like, I want to say too long, well, a long ass time.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And now it's just kind of like limping around, like it's still there, but it's like it's still a thing. It's just amazing how long it's been a thing. Because I guess technically it's like, is the bloodline still a thing?
Not really.
But I mean, kind of, sort of, because it's like,
Oh, okay,
especially
yes. We did
because I
end up
mean,
getting it right, by the way. Edge, Damian, Rhea.
yes, when that whole
Original
thing,
three members.
when there used to be like this whole cult thing, you know, Edge like doing that whole Highlander stuff. He can't help himself. He love
No.
give him a chance. He, like every 2, 3 years, he love putting on a pentagram. So.
Yeah, that man goes to the same well entirely too often.
He is the disciple of Gangrel for a reason. It's like some habits can't be broken, but the main event and the one that's had the most meta build up is CM Punk and Roman Reigns, because it's like they are feuding on like three different levels, like kayfabe, real life, and in between, and it's just
I
weird.
think that's fair to say.
And it's like they cutting promos on the internet, they cutting promos on the show. It's like it keeps having these ups and downs. Like sometimes they cross the line, sometimes they doing too much, they not doing enough. And the funny thing about this is like it seemed like CM Punk is doing all the tricks he normally do to get over, and it's not working because people don't want to boo Roman Reigns.
He's having a lesser problem than Cody Rhodes is having in that
Yes.
department. But yeah, people still view Roman Reigns more highly than CM Punk.
Yeah, and it's pissing CM, and it felt like I heard that last promo, and that was the most realistic thing, because it's like it felt real. Like, yeah, I'm mad because I'm jealous. And it's like it feeds to a lot of stuff, because you don't know if it's he truth, if it's just him kind of promo, it's some level of truth. Because you look at their careers, and it's kind of like, you can see why CM Punk feels the way he feel about Roman Reigns, and you can see why Roman Reigns feel the way he feel about CM Punk. And the funny thing is, they probably like each other backstage, because you ain't gonna, because it's like a
Yeah.
lot of history between them, and it's like you're gonna do this whole "I'm glad your daddy dead" type nonsense if you don't sign off on that, pro wrestling or not.
Yeah, I feel like with the way things have gone and the fact that they really haven't had a pull apart brawl, it's mostly just been the verbal sparring.
I mean,
I mean, I know that they took what?
they put each other through tables.
Yeah, they've each put each other through a table, but other than that, like, given that this is the longest build up, like, we knew that this match was happening immediately after the Royal Rumble.
They built this since
There's been very
Survivor
little,
Series.
yeah, there's been fairly little physical, considering the time frame, there's been fairly little physical interaction between the two, and they've done a great job of cutting the promos and, yeah, really making this the main event of night two here.
And it's been a whole thing. It's like they are fighting over legacy, over who deserves. Because basically, they both, neither one of them respects the other's path in life. Both feel like they should have been in the other person's shoes. And both of them feel like a level of resentment that they get a certain level of respect for a certain group of fan base that the other one does. But I think Roman Reigns' whole thing is, I proved that I'm the man when you was gone, and you only here because I let you be here. And no matter what, you washed. Like his whole thing is like, yeah, you did all that, but it's like, so what? Oh, I was in the Indies. Well, boo hoo. Brokey, I have to do all that.
And it is kind of weird that you're like, I was in the Indies 25 years ago. Like, that man has been out of the Indies for quite a while. I mean, I know some of it was not in wrestling at all in that 25 years, but yeah, you really have not worked those bingo halls in a very long time, sir.
Yeah, you mad at me because I'm part-time. Like, I don't need to be full-time. That's why I'm not full-time. I was full-time while you was had your ball and went home. Like, he was carrying the load. Like, people forget, Roman Reigns for what, 4 years during the whole
Yeah.
COVID, post-COVID era, had the company on his damn back. Like, some of like Some people,
He was
and it's,
definitely, well, even then he wasn't showing up all the time,
but he showed up a lot, and it's,
yeah, he showed up a lot.
and it's wild where now people's kind of like, in hindsight, people, I remember how people's like, I'm getting sick of this Bloodline stuff. They miss it now. Cause I hear people talking about, oh, we didn't realize how good we had. Like, yeah, y'all didn't realize how good y'all had. Like, people not over exaggerate when they were saying that was the best long form storyline WWE ever did. Cause they did a 4-year storyline that involved basically the whole company, more or less.
Yeah, it is. And to make it even more wild, and I know we noted it at the time, the fact that it transitioned from a Vince McMahon original idea to Triple H taking over somewhere in the middle of it,
Yes,
and the
and
ball didn't get fumbled in that transition is pretty, like it's wild on top of wild.
the one big misstep they had, they end up audible and having an awesome WrestleMania, because keep in mind, it was supposed to end with Rock and Roman Reigns, and people felt so strongly about it for Cody Rhodes that I was like, all right, we're going. And it's funny. They could have just ignored it, said, we're gonna do what we want to do. Give a damn with the crowd. Like, and
It
keep in
would not have been
mind,
the first time
and keep in mind, there
that
are worse things to have, than a main event with The Rock and Roman Reigns. Because keep in mind, it's The Rock and Roman Reigns.
had
But the fact that they audible to that and had The Rock just be a deranged boss, to the fact that not only it was the best build up in a long time WrestleMania, but it kind of overshadowed Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns because The Rock was too good at his job. It's still funny to me. But no, this build has basically been a whole like meta thing where it's kind of like they've been arguing on multiple levels, and it hasn't been as physical as it could have been. And even then, it's like, you feel like it went from Roman always influencing the Usos to the Usos influencing Roman. Like, you gonna let that slide? Like, you gonna talk about our family like that? And it's just funny how Roman finally like acknowledges his cousins. It's kind of like, they not my lackeys, they're family.
Oh, yeah.
He still didn't apologize, and that's the one thing about Roman Reigns,
Yeah,
he never has apologized about who he was. He's like Mel Gibson as far as that go. He has just been himself, and it's like the crowd does not care, because you can chant part-time, you can chant Nepo baby, you can chant all that. Yeah, Roman Reigns has done long enough. It's like he's reached, yeah, Roman Reigns has reached OG status.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they ain't booing Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Once that original tribal chief kind of, although original was not in the title, but that tribal chief gimmick, once that ended and he came back as a baby face, that was a wrap on him not getting cheered. You
Yeah.
know, like he the crowd was done booing him at that point.
OTC. Oh, so
Yep.
Julia Tiffany Strand has been announced for SmackDown tomorrow night.
No,
So,
yeah, another two women that not making it to the main card.
yeah, I mean,
Okie doke.
you only got so much. That was a quick runaround. So I'll be at work, but I'll be watching WrestleMania at work. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania.
Oh well, we need the final prediction here, sir,
Oh,
before we do
you
that
know.
wrap.
I've been thinking about this. I think they do the gold watch thing and have CM Punk retain at Mania.
Yeah, I've been leaning towards, even though CM Punk is obviously a wrestling legend at this point, it feels like he needs this W and Roman Reigns really doesn't. Like I've obviously had my qualms with the Roman Reigns build to becoming this Roman Reigns. And go check out the Stunt Granny archives if you don't believe me, but yeah, it feels like CM Punk needs this win more, so I'm gonna pick CM Punk to
Which is
close out the
hilarious that you
prediction.
guys say CM Punk needs this win more, because like, does CM Punk really need anything?
No,
Like, he
he
is
does not.
like
Again,
he
he's
is
a
he is
wrestling legend. No matter if he loses this match, he's still a wrestling legend.
he is world champion that gets to defend the title in the main event at night 2 at WrestleMania. So the one dream he had, He's achieved it. No asterisks, no night one thing. Even though night one, I always see as a main event too. Like he's gonna be in the last match, and he's gonna be the last match against the biggest box office draw of his generation. And it's like he somehow is like that's his last check mark. So win or lose, he's still got nobody can take that away from him. And it's like I would normally say Roman wins if it was like. Unless you're gonna have Roman Reigns win the belt to hold it for somebody else to beat him over Femi, I don't see why Roman Reigns could win it. Cause Roman Reigns is like, I just saw the Street Fighter 2 trailer and it's like I saw him as Akuma. It looked a lot better than it's funny when I first saw that casting, I kind of made a face. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, he kind of looked like him. And it's like, the more I see him, the more. It's easier for me to digest it than seeing Cody Rhodes as Guile, but it's like, yeah, Roman got a foot in Hollywood. So, and basically the whole thing is kind of like whoever has the belt feel like they're keeping it warm. You're either keeping the belt warm for Oba Femi or you're keeping the belt warm for Bron Breakker.
There is definitely an inevitably factor
Oh,
to
boy,
one of those two
talk about
winning the championship.
a future WrestleMania match, Bron Breakker and Oba Femi. Cause it's like the two cause they cause it's wild. I guess we can wrap up with that. Bron Breakker
They
got
did.
hurt the worst time because it's like he was the chosen one. They felt like.
Well, and it's kind of interesting too that did they rest? No, they didn't cross paths in NXT at all. I think
No, Bron,
Oba just missed him, really. I think Braun got called up right before Oba Femi really became a thing. And
and it's
yeah, it's
wild.
kind of wild that they haven't met. Like, that's a genuinely fresh matchup that they can have out of NXT products.
And it's wild because I remember right before Bron Breakker got hurt, people wanted him to beat CM Punk and Raw for that title. Like, I remember people being mad that Bron Breakker lost. They was like, they felt like it was Bron Breakker time. It was like you push them to the moon. If you feel like it's a time, do it now. And the fact that people was kind of like wanting him to beat CM, but people was mad to CM Punk retain the title. It was like that's how highly people thought about Bron Breakker. And now it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind because he got hurt. And Oba Femi kind of took this. That's the thing about you get hurt. The landscape may not be the same when you come back.
No, we could list examples, but that would probably take us another hour
If
to list how that how that
you're
works.
lucky, if you're already established, like if you're like Charlotte or Bianca Belair, you're already established, or like Liv Morgan, then you safe. If you ain't established yet and you working your way up and you get hurt, at best you better hope you like Bronson Reed and they give you a pushback. Otherwise, all you gotta do is turn on Evolve and see Nikita Lyons. Nikita Lyons, the last legend, used to be in the same spot. And look where they are now. I mean,
Oh yeah, it's a much lesser version, but still a contemporary comparison that that can be made for sure.
and it just happens. Like everybody ain't Sol Ruka, where it's like you miss a whole bunch of time, you come back and you don't miss a step. And it's like if they believe in you like that, because especially with the level of talent you have, both the men and the women, you will get left behind. If like very very easily, like if you do not find your spot, convince somebody, you will easily get left behind. It ain't nobody's fault. And it's kind of like we just talked about the WWE people. We didn't talk about the NXT folks. And it's kind of like I want to give a shout out to JC Jane for proving the non-existent haters wrong. And I look forward to seeing her on the main roster, see what she can do.
Yep, that's what I was just gonna say. Like, I look forward to her and hopefully the whole of Fatal Influence.
Yes, Fatal Influence.
Just getting pulled up as an act to to the main roster,
And it's
'cause
just
that would be
wild. Yeah, it's just
fantastic.
wild. Like, shout out to Lola Vice for getting it. And it's just wild. She wins the title. She wins the rematch. Like, what's next? All the other X-Men they have down there. So Kali Armstrong and Kendall Gray and Izzy Dame and Sol Ruka. Like, one thing about NXT women, is always the next one up.
Oh my gosh.
There's all like there's like it's just amazing where I just saw those women there, and it's like they got to like I don't know how long we've been saying it. I don't know where they find these women. It always felt like NXT got too many women, and it's not like they hold women there too long because like they will elevate four or five. It's like, oh, we got five more.
Because the men's division, I mean, we already talked about it. Javon, Oba,
Trick.
and Trick all were there for about as short a time period as can be in NXT these days. And they get called up, and you're just like, because it was the first time in a while that the men's division was good when they were there.
And they
And
all
they
leave at the same
left,
time.
and it's a disaster again.
I
Although
mean,
it could
it's
be,
gotten better.
I guess it's not as bad as it had
I will
been
say
right before them.
the return of your Paizan has definitely stabilized things because it's like Tony D. And the funny thing about that, people was talking about, I think with Tony D'Angelo, like he had talent, but they ain't like that gimmick. Because they like that.
That's got to be the only thing that was holding him back, which is just to me completely insane. Like, just because A, I think he'd showed it in the ring already, and it's just like we've talked about how much the charisma matters. And I'm like, the guy was cutting promos, he was doing backstage segments. Like, the guy wasn't bad, whether he was in the ring talking or in a backstage segment. Like, what are we missing here? And it's just like, well, you're going to change the gimmick if you want to anyway on the main
No,
roster. Just should have done it
it
there.
was anti-Italian discrimination. That's what it was. From old Big Nose himself. What you expect from a Frenchman? So, but no. But yeah, it's wild where the men got stabilized with Tony D'Angelo coming back and Joe Henry being there. And also the odd couple I never thought I wanted of Ricky Saints and I can't think of his name. Oh, Ethan
Ethan
Page.
Page.
Boy, that's a heel. He is a throwback because I cannot stand Ethan Page whatsoever. I hate him in a good old pro wrestling way.
Yeah, he's the smarmy douche at all times. And it's one of those few things, kind of like Gunther, where he never gives you that redeeming quality that, like, a lot of these heels, there's like that one redeeming quality where you're just like, oh man, I really want to cheer for them because of that. And it just kind of snowballs from there. Those two never give you a
Yeah.
good reason to let that snowball even
No.
start.
Because even Gunther being a great wrestler doesn't work because he wrestles a way that's unlikable. Like.
And he doesn't have a finish. But like truly, like he has two or three finishes, and because he never uses the same thing at all times,
Yeah.
like you don't know when to expect a finish, and people are just so Pavlovian looking for a finisher that it's weird. It's like it can be a power bomb one time, it
Or a
can be
splash, or a
a
clothesline, or he'll put you to sleep. And it's like, oh, he went with a clothesline? It's like, yeah, it worked. So it's, yeah, like the men are still working things out. It's like a lot of the young people, like, Dion Lennox and the Miles Bourne, getting their feet under them. And they're signing like new, and they're figuring out what to do with like a lot of tag teams. Like, they got some of OTM. And I was surprised because I thought they were going to get fired. So they came.
And I've liked the Shiloh Hill there. That man has come on quickly, but he's like just one of those kind of goofy characters that it just feels like a wrestling trope. Like he's already a wrestling kind of thing
I
that's,
mean,
like a
look.
gimmick that's been around, and he does
Hey,
it well.
Trick Williams used to be a boxer, so it's always about figuring out your gimmick, what you used to be. But like the men have that, and meanwhile the women's like, oh, Kendall Gray, she Kurt Angle. Oh, Kali Armstrong is like, oh, she Bianca Belair 2.0. It's like even somebody like Tatum Paxley, how would you smile? Like, oh, imagine you had Daphne, but you made a creative wrestler. Like, oh yeah, she's a gymnast and a power lifter, and she also does a guy thing. Like, it's like she's just making shit up. And it just works. And it's like, Even to the fact that, yeah, somebody like as popular as Blake Monroe, where it's kind of like, she's like, I don't need a title. I'm me. Whenever I come out, I'm a big deal. And she ain't lying. And everybody like, she is in, like, why was she be in a rush? Like, she's like in a rush to do what? Like, she's still in her 20s. Everybody knows she's great. She got plenty of time. What's the rush for?
Oh, yeah, and she's one of those people that, and it feels like Saints and Paige are in the same category where, they have enough indie experience where it's just, it feels like it's a good idea to have some of those people down there at all times.
Yeah, because eventually, like, both Paige and Saints are going to be in the main roster. Majority of those women are going to be in the, like, you can already look at, like, NXT, half those women going to be the main roster because it's kind of like they're just that damn good. And then some of the older women kind of finally retire. It's just such a thing. Like, you look at somebody, like, I guess we get in, like, somebody like Lola Vice, like, people forget she's gotten very good in the ring. And a lot of, like, most, a lot of it's just, getting in experience. And, like, she's like, I'll be in NXT and I'm in AAA. Like, she's been doing both and she's been picking up experience. And it's like having her be hold a title because, like, you have a woman that looks like that. She has an MMA background, she has experience in, like, multiple styles, and she's still young and talented. It's like that's just a perfect thing. Because I swore they're gonna put the belt on Kendall Gray the way they talked about Kendall Gray, but it's like you can always put the belt on Kendall Gray later. Because I don't think, because let me put it this way, it's like I don't think Lola Vice needs to really be in NXT that much longer. Because it's kind of like,
No, she does not.
it's like you know,
But
but you,
she'll probably cook another year, you know?
I
I,
mean,
I, I, I would be surprised if she's not down there for another year, you know?
6 months.
Okay, yeah, at
Yeah,
least six.
it
At
may
least
be a
six.
year, but I say 6 months because it's kind of like, because at a certain point, it's kind of like you're gonna have to grade. Because, like, between her and Sol Ruka and JC Jane, it's like, what they got to prove at this point. Like, so the
Oh,
Sol,
nothing.
like, a lot, like, does Kalan, does Sol really need the belt? Like, everybody knows Sol Ruka is like a superstar, and everybody talk about it like that. And it's like the same thing, like, you see someone like Kalani Jones, like, all right, it's basically about finding a spot because you kind of already know. And they just have, like, the fact that NXT probably has like seven women like that, they could probably go to main roster right now and they would still be fine. Just tell you about the depth of women they have and, like, the scouting that they have. Like, HBK got that magic touch, I swear to God. Because it's like, and even people like
Yes,
the
he does.
fact that, people that was in NXT and then left and then came back, like, Sloane Jacobs, she was in NXT early, person, left, had a whole indie career, and now she back, got her old name back. Like Catalina was a former WWE signing, left, got experience, and now she's back. So even the whole thing, even if you now not only are you getting new people, you're getting back old people. So, and they got their eyes, like, I know word on street, they're like, they got, especially when you're doing the whole AAA thing, I know they got their eyes on Persephone. It's a reason why AEW threw the bag at Tekla. They know. They kind of know where it's like, it's certain women that's safe over there, but it's like, best believe it's like, pay, like, Willow Nightingale, pay her whatever she asks for.
Oh,
Do
yeah, you've got
next.
you. The biggest thing that they can do is retain. Like, they're not gonna pull the names that they end up pulling over are gonna be the people that end up getting cut,
Yeah.
more than likely from the
Like, it.
WWE.
Yeah, we talked about before with the men. About how maybe some men where it's like they don't have anything else to prove, they still want to get one last paycheck. There are very few women legacy names that would be like, I'm going to AEW. Like, Charlotte is never going to AEW. I know y'all want to say Pam Martinez is all elite. No. That Mercedes, like, the people who went there only went there because of some very specific circumstances. Like, if Triple H was running WWE, Sasha Banks would still be in WWE right now. So that just happened to be like that. That was the exception. That was like the whole Kurt Angle thing. Like, he left because of drugs. If he cleaned his act up, he would have never been in TNA. But it's like this whole idea is like, okay, like, y'all think y'all gonna see Nikki Bella in AEW? Come on now. You think Trish Stratus is going to show up for a check? Like, this ain't, we ain't talking about the Big Show. No offense to the Big Show. But it's like the women, unless, so the women you're going to get are be like the women where they reached a glass ceiling and they didn't get a push. But even then, a lot of those women end up going to TNA anyway. So.
Oh yeah, there have not yeah, there has not been a major rush over to AEW for
Because
that many women.
until recently they weren't pushing the women well. Like they finally started pushing the women well, and it's good for them. And it was kind of like they finally got their act together, but better late than never. But we're here to talk about WrestleMania, and we had a good, I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. And I was gonna go when it was gonna be in New Orleans, to the point where I had actually got a hotel reservation. Until they decided, and that was the last second change because The Rock came out. Like, I'm going out. This is New
Yeah,
Orleans.
they
He came out.
advertised it two different times. It was going to be New Orleans.
Yeah, like they had The Rock come out to a Lil Wayne song talking about, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're going to run it back in Vegas. And boy, I canceled my reservation so fast. It was like, you know what? Fuck them. I was actually going to go one last time. I was gonna bite the bullet and pay those ridiculous prices because I was like, you know what, New Orleans is a good walkable city. I enjoy being in New Orleans. They said Vegas again. Nope. And this will be Saudi. And this will be Saudi next year. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know what that, especially not even talking about current political climate aside. I don't know if people kind of pay attention, but Saudi's kind of getting out of the whole we paying for everything business.
Oh, I have
Yeah, it's a,
not
they
been
pulled
paying
out.
attention to
Yeah,
that.
they pulled out of LIV. They like, yeah, they kind of turned off. They turned off the
Oh,
money
is that what?
spigot.
Is that what that? Okay, I saw some comments online. Didn't know what it was
Yeah,
referencing. Now it makes a great deal
the
of sense.
whole flag football thing with Tom Brady, there was gonna be an investor. Like, ah, because they kind of like, yeah, we spend a little bit too much money, like trying to build like a city on a train. Or like artificial clouds. Like Saudi had so much money, they was just spending everywhere. And between current crisis and the fact that there is no such thing as infinite money, like we kind of might have to slow down a bit. So if they have a WrestleMania Saudi, that might be a one-time thing, and that might be it. And I know it's supposed to be in Saudi next year, and people feel a certain way, and I'm kind of like, we'll see. I know they want to do this whole, we're going to throw The Rock the most money anyone ever paid for wrestling to try to have that. But yeah, we'll see. We shall see.
Okie dokie. Saved this Bell Time beer specifically for this show here. Hoof Hearted Brewing Vaffler Mania Fruited Brunch Sour, brewed with blueberry, blackberry, cherry, vanilla, almonds, and maple syrup. I'll tell you what, there's this interesting thing that happens with beer. Where ones that tend to be sour and or sweet tend to not age terribly well. I'll say this. This one definitely tastes more sour this year than it did last year at the same time. But still a very good beer. They are obviously a very wrestling influenced beer company here out of Marengo, Ohio. Their beers are available a lot of places outside of the state of Ohio. So if you happen to see Hoof Hearted Brewing on your shelves, with the highest amount of recommendation, tell you to buy it. Their beers are excellent. This one is very good and obviously WrestleMania inspired. So Bell Time Beer suggestion from at DeFrango 11. He is at Philly underscore drugs. The brand is at Sun Gritty. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Shahid, wrap it on up for us, good sir.
For Kevin DeFranco, I'm Shahid Duhati, and it is WrestleMania season. We are out.